Wrestling Powerhouse Radio at blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vampides.
Best wrestling program on the planet. On the planet.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Greg DeMarco, I need you. I can't live without you. I want you right now.
You have a...
Vaginas are
off. Damn!
Are you not going to bang it?
Heather, for you, of course I was going to bang it.
You better bang it.
Vaginas are off.
Greg DeMarco Show.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco Show.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Really?
This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We all love Greg DeMarco.
Really?
I like Greg DeMarco.
Sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Anybody got time for that?
No, Greg. No, Greg. I'm serious. I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
Patrick, is someone tuckered out? Oh, sneaky. You gotta go to bed, huh?
And I love you, Greg.
Damn!
We all love Greg DeMarco.
That I love Patrick O'Dowd.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Oh, you guys are so adorable.
That's going to be a soundbite right there.
Uh-oh. You're welcome.
And I love you, Greg.
You're listening to The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and that's not to come off really weird. Oh, my God. See, this is what happens when you're trying too hard. That's what happens. That's I just got to... Third time's a charm. This is The Perfect 10, Scarlett Bordeaux, and you're listening to The Greg DeMarco Show, the only show, the best show, on the web.
The porn of Greg DeMarco. The wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. 32 fantastic Heather Lynn. The sexy and dangerous Sue Young. This is The Greg DeMarco Show.
That's right. Screw the opening song. I cut it off. Patrick O'Dowd, the world is falling apart. The wrong songs are playing. Things aren't in the queue like they're supposed to be. People are trying to log in. It's crazy pandemonium as we kick off the Greg DeMarco this week.
I'm kind of okay, though.
Good. Glad that you're okay. And Patrick O'Dowd.
I'm mellow.
Good. It's good that you're mellow. One of us has to be mellow because I am not. And we're going to jump right into things here because we changed the order up a little bit, trying to respect some time. But before we do, Patrick O'Dowd, we have a huge surprise for everybody. This week we are going, and you can tweet with this hashtag, people, hashtag 2 for Sue. That's right.
Shut up!
Sue Young. On the show, the whole Sue. It's like 2 weeks in a row, and you're sticking around.
Yeah, what can I say? I love the Greg DeMarco Show.
on. A lot of great stuff to talk about. Two amazing guests in Ethan Page and in Leva Bates coming up later tonight. So Patrick O'Dowd and Sue, you guys get to geek out for a little bit. Learn that I didn't know before. But we're wasting no time this week because our guest is already on the line. He was able to master the internet and in because Blog likes to force you to sign up for an account trying to Skype in, which you guys have experienced. So here he is, which means Patrick O'Dowd, you know the tradition.
It's time!
That sound, of course, means that we've achieved guest, and that guest is a very good friend of the program, one of our favorite people to have on, the one and only hashtag all ego, Ethan Page. Ethan, welcome back to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Is this even working?
100%.
Okay.
Yes, you're good to go. You're good to go. So it was a little stressful there at the last second, but it is A-okay. So you're in now, and we're super excited to have you on because and the reason why, you know, we always love bringing you on, but of course, we have something big coming up for you this Sunday night, Alpha 1 Return Action with Immortal Kombat 2. So see, not only was the song Sue Young's theme song, but it also was very appropriate for your event you've got coming up. So, tell you know, you've got some really exciting people on this card. I mean, tell us how this kind of came together with all these people, some returning, some brand new to Alpha 1.
It was kind of like a stars aligning kind of thing where, like, we wanted to bring Tommy Dreamer back because he was the one that was on the first Immortal Kombat and probably one of our most successful events we've ever had. And we don't really have many repeat guests, but he was one that was in high demand. So we dropped that one on our fans, and then it kind of fell in our laps that ROH is the night before in Toronto. So that led to a good friend of mine, Michael Elgin, getting on the show, and Kevin Steen being in the area, and Kyle O'Reilly living near Michael Elgin, and Jimmy Jacobs could get a ride there. And blah, 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 all of a sudden, it's like the most stacked card we've ever had, and it's like, May 11th, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, people would remember, you've been on the show, and you kind of detailed the story, and Josh Alexander did too, about how, you know, Alpha 1 shut down at one point, of course, and some equipment got stolen, all that good stuff. What does it mean for you to kind of come full circle now and really come back this strong?
Honestly, I don't think we really planned it. Like, I was just, like, listing off all those things. Like, that's exactly it. It was just happenstance. The reason it, like, stayed open, I guess, is because I just wanted a place for, like, my friends locally to work guys that they would never really get a chance to work. And, like, with Smash Wrestling now, it's not really something that I need to provide for, like, the local guys. Like, Smash is killing it. So they're giving all these guys the opportunity in the world. So me is, like, a indie wrestling promoter, like, I don't know, I kind of just rather focus on my own career, as greedy as that sounds, but this big show on Sunday just happened, and I'm personally excited for it, because it's my hometown, so I like providing local fans, especially my hometown, with the best lineups possible.
So wait, does that mean, could this be it then, or are you going to slow down shows, like, what does that mean?
Oh, we have a show July 6th, called Mighty Morphing Power Wrestling with Chris Sabin. So
nice.
Yes.
Excellent. Good stuff on both accounts. Sorry, Patrick, I interrupted you.
Yeah, cutting me off as usual. It's the pain of the co-host, let me tell you, Ethan. So looking over the card here, Greg and you both talked about how the stars kind of aligned, and you've got a lot of really exciting guests coming. And we know, as I was kind of looking through in the rundown, I noticed that it looks like you paired a lot of them up with what we'd consider like the Alpha 1 talent. Was this an intentional sort of direction for the card?
Yeah, like, there has to be an overabundance amount of outside talent to have them overlap. Like, there's one match that has Brent Banks, Kyle O'Reilly, and Kevin Steen, and that was kind of just like, this guy got added on the show. What match would benefit adding Kyle O'Reilly? And that was the match because we had a guy with a busted ACL. So for me, as like a booker, these guys aren't going to be at my shows every single month. So, I don't know, using inside lingo, I guess. I want to give the guys that are going to be there every month the opportunity to look like they can hang with the top wrestlers in North America so that they get a little bit of a rub or more exposure, or I don't know. I just feel like it's beneficial for the company, but also them as talent.
Yeah, I don't see that I can't disagree with that logic at all. I mean, it's a great opportunity, like you said, to hone some skills, bring something great for the fans, and the local guys getting, you know, the opportunity to wrestle some people that they may not always get to if they're not as well traveled. That can't be anything but good for the whole thing. It's a very big picture way to look at it. So looking at the card and looking over some of these matches, can you tell us a little bit about your match, which is at least the way it looks on the website and everything, the top of the card looks like the main event, defending the Alpha Male Championship, you defending the Alpha Male Championship against Alessandro Del Bruno.
Yep. I'm personally excited for this for two reasons. I get to main event the biggest show that Alpha One's ever put on. And two, I'm defending my championship against a guy that I think's one of the most underrated guys going. And, like, he's not really that well known. And on a card like this, with all this, like, great talent, I think it's a credit to him that a guy that's not as well known as a Kyle O'Reilly is still main eventing this card for the heavyweight championship against Ethan Page. So, I don't know. There's my praise, but the build-up to this match is fantastic. There's a hype video online for it, which is an Alpha One tradition to have badass trailer videos for big matches. And again, like, this has a big fight feel, especially for our loyal fans, and they want to see him pull out the win, but I obviously don't.
You know, one match that sounds so sick and so exciting is that super strong style showdown between Elgin and Sparks. I am so hyped about that. That's like such a crazy match. How did that even come up? Like, how did this happen?
Michael Elgin just ended up getting added to the card, and then you just look at a roster of people who are in the area and could use big fight matches like that. And for some reason, Silesia just stuck out like a sore thumb. And there's characteristics of Silesia Sparks that I see that she has of Michael Elgin. So to me, this is like guy version Elgin versus girl version Elgin.
That is so awesome. You've been critical of wrestling in Ontario in the past. Has this changed, like, now compared to then?
No, it's worse.
Oh!
Like, way worse. Like, it's in such rough shape. Like, there's no schools in the area that train kids properly. So you have a bunch of, like, spoon-fed bitches with, like, shitty attitudes just shitting all over wrestling. And, like, who am I to say that people don't deserve to be paid? But I remember when I first started, like, one, no one liked me automatically because I was 16 years old. Two, I didn't have abs. I wasn't jacked. I wasn't on the juice. And I loved, like, indie wrestling, like the Ring of Honor style wrestling. So people didn't really like that, who would rather do wrist locks and body slams. So I didn't really have a good reputation when I first started, but I still looked down at my toes, respected the veterans, and shut my mouth and listened. I asked them for advice. I set up rings. I hit the road. I shit the bed, didn't get paid, and kept on learning. And guys are coming out of schools like this fucking school, Squared Circle in Toronto, and they're just, like, producing douchebags. Like, every single month I meet a new one. All they want is lots of money. They want to be treated like they've been wrestling forever, but they're, like, 3 months in. They have egos, and it's just not right. It's not good for our scene. It's not good for the locker rooms, and I'm just not a fan of it.
Preach. Preach.
So, I mean, do you turn the? I mean, have you had to turn people away? Where you're like, no, I'm not interested in bringing you in.
It's gone to a point now where I'm not turning people away. I'm calling promoters, telling them, like, me or him.
Really?
Like, yeah, I feel like no one is policing this, and I hate, like, that term. Like, no one's going to police indie wrestling. It's going to be bullshit 24/7. No one can correct anything. But there's certain guys, like this local dude, I'm pissed I'm going to say his name, but I just want to make sure if anyone in the area is listening, this dude, Channing Decker, just pisses me off to a point where I've contacted companies in the area that I work for and asked them for a favor to not book this guy for a couple months so that he realizes that, like, shitty attitude and being disrespectful and, like, fake kiss-assing, and that's not going to get you anywhere. It's, like, the setting up the rings, the paying your dues. Like, people notice that without you having to, like, point it out to them. And this guy's doing things he thinks people want to do or see him do, sorry, and it's just, like, going about it the wrong way.
So when, I mean, you talked about when you first started off when you were 16, nobody liked you. Like, did you go through a period like that, or did someone whip you into shape real fast and say, hey, this is not how you act?
Yeah, like, I went through a period like that, but there was still that fear, like I wanted to be a wrestler so bad that I realized that, like, this is where I'm at, this is my position. And it took, like, literally years for me to start making, like, $40 or for me to even, like, gain the respect of a guy who's been wrestling for 5 or 6 years, never mind actually wrestling them on a card. So every single show, I would ask someone to watch my match. They would shit all over it. They'd shit all over me. They'd shit all over my gear. They would tell me I suck, probably tell me to quit. And I would do that every single weekend. I would drive people. I would set up every single ring, and I would tear down every single ring, no matter what town I was in, if it was 3 hours away, 4 hours away. That's the shit you got to do. You got to, like, shovel shit to find the gold.
No, I get that. You recently appeared at the Future of Honor show for Ring of Honor, and people loved, obviously, what you did. You and Josh Alexander and Psycho Mike as well. And to me, and I'm not, you know, trying to put you on the spot or anything, I felt like you didn't belong on that show because you belong on the Ring of Honor main shows. I think I even tweeted that, too. Like, and you've been on the Ring of Honor cards. Like, for you, what is it, you know, did you accomplish what you hoped to accomplish by going on that card?
I don't know. That's such a tough question where I need to play nice and, like, be political, I guess. But
then you don't have to answer if you don't want to. I don't want to get you.
I get what you're saying, and there's, like, a bunch of people who all said the same thing to me privately as well. And to me, I don't know, it was just a booking. So if you're going to book me, I'm going to show up, whether it's a B show for Ring of Honor or the A show for Ring of Honor. To me, it's just, like, another opportunity for me to showcase what I'm able to do, which was have a good match and gain more notoriety or have the crowd enjoy my performance. So for me, it's just another booking.
And, you know, watching social media, I can tell you that after that show, people were talking about you. And even though you were in the opening match, they were talking about what you did on the show and the fact that you were there. Some complaining you were there, and some just saying that they were happy that you had the opportunity and that you killed it. So hopefully moving forward, that leads to more opportunities for you. But, of course, the biggest thing this weekend is May 11th. And I know you only got about a minute or so left. If someone's on the fence about checking out this card, I mean, what can you say to say, hey, you know what, this is the card you need to see?
Well, if you're there for Ring of Honor, you're going to see pretty much the same roster plus literally the best Ontario indie wrestlers on the card with them, plus Tommy Dreamer, who wasn't at Ring of Honor the night before. So just stay in town. Check it out. It's on a Sunday. What are you going to do? I know it's Mother's Day, but everyone loves Tommy Dreamer more than their mothers. So come spend the $15 or $20. Come to the show. It's going to be like a sick 7-match card. Like, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah,
bring your mom and flowers, too. Bring your mom.
Forget the flowers. You bring that $20 and buy an Ethan Page picture.
That's right. Bring your $20 to the merch table. Exactly. So awesome. And good luck to you guys this weekend. I hope it's another huge success, and I hope you keep doing great things for yourself as well. I know you're picking up a lot in the U.S., but I'm still waiting for the PWG matches, because that's where I think they would go crazy for you guys. You, your Monster Mafia,
oh,
and PWG,
yeah,
they would go nuts.
I would love love to do PWG. It's definitely a bucket list thing.
Yeah. It shouldn't be a bucket list. It should just be a thing in general, because PWG just picked up some new guys, so they, you know, just send them the match with you guys in the Young Bucks, and they should be. Or you, was it the Young Bucks or Bad Influence? I can't remember now. But
it is the Young Bucks, yeah.
You guys killed it with the Young Bucks, and that thing's online for free. Go check it out. It was awesome. Listen, I know you've got some stuff you got to do, so appreciate you coming on. That hype video is outstanding. I saw it when you first released it and tweeted it out. If it doesn't get people excited for you and Del Bruno, then they're not fans. But we are, and we know you're going to do great things. So good luck, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, man. Thanks a lot, guys.
Anytime. Here you go. Ethan Page. So we did have to cut that a little short for him, but that is quite all right. Always a good friend of the program, and we have a lot of fun there. But Patrick, a little surprise, surprise guest on the show for you, Patrick, and for you, Sue.
Surprise
guest. Are you guys ready?
What's the surprise?
I'm surprised.
Well, let's just find out who the surprise is. And we know what that music means. Is this who we have on the line?
The Hitman's here.
Oh, no.
I thought I was going to get to speak to Ethan Page, but we cut it short.
Ethan had to go for some other obligations, but, you know, a fellow Canadian like yourself, I mean, what do you have an opinion, Brett, on Ethan Page?
I think Ethan Page is a great wrestler, and I think he definitely should be in the PWG. I've torn it up with him. And if he's still listening to this show, he would know who is doing this right now. So, Ethan, this is a shout-out to you. And God bless.
There we go. Brett Hart, we appreciate you coming on, Brett.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, my God.
Anytime you want to come on, Brett, you just have your people let me know, and we'll be more than happy to bring you on.
Of course.
Out of 10, what would you give the Ethan Page interview out of a 10?
I definitely would give him a good old 12.
Wow.
A Canadian 12, because I am the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. I'm finished.
There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Brett Hart on the Greg DeMarco show. Wow, that is amazing. And a 12 out of 10 coming from Brett Hart is a big deal.
That's a huge compliment.
That's for the 4 out of 10. So giving a 12 out of 10 is huge, huge in this day and age. So
you don't see it often. You don't see it often.
No, you don't. You don't see it often at all. You know, Sue, I would love to see Ethan Page tear it up with some of the PWG talent, because PWG is in that great position where they can essentially book anybody, because they don't have iPay-per-view, they only have DVDs, and it just doesn't limit them whatsoever, and that's why people go nuts for PWG.
Yeah, it's like the cool kid clubhouse. I mean, everyone wants to go there, but here's the thing, it's like such a collection of fantastic talent from all over, you know what I mean? And you never see anything anywhere else like a night at PWG, just because it's just crazy pandemonium and everybody has legitimate 100% fun. Like, you don't ever see anyone there without a smile on their face. And that's what I love about PWG. So much.
Yeah, Ethan Page said it was on his bucket list. It's on my bucket list to go as a fan. Like, I just want to go to PWG show.
And you're actually close to getting one. Like, I don't understand what's taking you so long, Greg.
I'm just lazy. I
have to get everyone to go. Everyone should go. That's an experience for everyone. Wrestling
fan
or not.
with the family and the kids. And you know, we go to California every summer on vacation. It just is when PWG has their shows. But, I mean, let's just – on the next card for PWG, which, by the way, is titled Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll. They also have the best card names ever.
They do. They really do.
The opening match, what's listed as the opening match, is AR Fox versus Rich Swann. Now, if that's the first match you have listed, you know the card is something amazing. Because that's, I mean, in a lot of indies, Sue, you know that match can close the show very easily.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. AR Fox is just a crazy wrestler, period. So, and Rich Swann is unpredictable, so that's just going to be a whole bundle of craziness right there. I don't even know what's going to happen.
Obviously predictable in more ways than our listeners even know.
Way unpredictable.
Rich Swann never, ever been a guest on the Greg DeMarco show, but yet he's been on the Greg DeMarco show at least 3 or 4 times now. So he show bombs us is what he does. He guest bombs.
It is.
He show bombs.
I don't know if I'd ever bring him on as a guest at this point because it would kind of ruin what he does. Like, I just...
It would hurt the mystique a lot, yeah.
He deserves guest treatment, yes, but he's in that way that he just surprises everyone. He just drops it on us, and next thing you know, there's Rich Swann. And so people love it. So we have tons of fun with Rich Swann. So what we're going to do now, we're finishing up the first 30 minutes of the program. Let's take a quick break and come back, and how about we talk some actual wrestling, and then at 11:30 Eastern Time, we're going to be joined by Leva Bates. So super exciting there. So what do you guys say we take a break? And pal, we've got new sound bites this week, and they're not the annoying sound bites that I love to play all the time. We actually have song sound bites. We have new bumper music to play as we're coming back from these commercial breaks. And they're actually wrestling related, and I have to try to find them a little bit and scroll my way over to them. Patrick, is there a certain one you'd like to sample?
We've got these new sound bites that I can't find.
What's that?
I said I put in a couple of requests earlier this week and started talking to you. So I don't know. If those showed up, I would love to hear.
Let me I want to play this first one. You requested this one today, Patrick Down, and I was able to make this.
Enjoy the
Greg DeMarco Show.
And remember, it's party time all the time.
Hey! Oh, 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 oh!
Just you, Patrick O'Dowd. That's right, just for you. And I'm trying to think of some of the other ones. I mean, we've got a lot of the short ones for coming back from commercial.
Sure.
This is one that you prepared.
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. There's a $1 million man. Always in his way.
That was a Patrick O'Dowd special right there.
Yeah. So it's full closure. I really have forgotten how much I love that song. Like,
yes.
Like when I started, when the network first went live, one of the first WWE pay-per-views that I watched was SummerSlam 92, and they wrestled the Road Warriors, him and IRS, and that music hit, and probably out of the whole show, that was the biggest smile I got. Was I was like, I forgot how genius they just took Ted's laugh and made a whole song around Ted's laugh, and that's just amazing. And so that my heart is warm right now, right on the chest. It's beautiful.
I can only imagine. But we do, Patrick O'Dowd, also have some new break music that you and Sue and everybody can enjoy. So I'm going to let Sue pick the song, Patrick.
Okay.
So Sue, of our new break songs, we have and these are somewhat compilations, so they're more than one song put together, but for the same wrestler. We have an Eddie Guerrero mix, we have an Edge mix, and we even have a Hulk Hogan mix.
Eddie Guerrero,
you want the Eddie Guerrero
Eddie
mix?
Guerrero. Right, yeah,
so we'll
Eddie Guerrero.
Break. We'll take a quick break with Eddie Guerrero, and we will come back with more Greg DeMarco Show, talk some wrestling, and then bring on our good friend, Leva Bates. We'll be right back.
Latino Heat. Chica, ¿tú quieres probar a un latino más?
Más mujeres porque soy latino. And I'm tougher than tough, part of your blood, bud.
I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Yeah. I don't care if you don't like me. Everybody wants to fight me. Do you feel it? Hey, oye lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna meet. Hay nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you. Yo, latino heat. Coming from the streets of the ghetto, at the end of the week, I get the key to dinero. You're fast asleep when I sneak in your casa. Your life sucks cause you're bankrupt and I'm laughing. Can't trust me, Anfe, cause I'm Latin.
I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Do you feel it?
I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Yeah, say hello to Eddie.
Yo,
too many try to tell me what I already know.
Yo,
can you feel the heat?
Yeah,
say hello.
Yo,
yeah. Viva la raza. Be Latino. If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Yo, mamacita, I got that passion of passing law. Look for heaven, fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm tougher than tough, part of your blood, huh?
I lie, I cheat, I steal.
I don't care if you don't like me, everybody wants to fight me, if you feel it, hey, oye lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna meet, hay nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you,
yo,
Latino heat.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
Hi, my name is Leanne from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
And two-time VOC Nation Babe of the Week, Leanne Marie.
Cool. Yes, it is. I heard it was a little Irishman's birthday over there, so I figured I should get the call. Happy birthday. You know what else I heard is true? The Irishmen have a curse.
That's an urban legend.
Are you sure? Well, hopefully you can prove it to me that you're not.
Oh, hey.
Hello.
I'll
have a surprise for you in Philly. So whenever you come here and you're not too scared, you can contact me. This is Leanne Marie, and I just wanted to say that I love Patrick O'Dowd.
We are back here live on the Greg DeMarco Show with Patrick O'Dowd and Sue Young. And Patrick, it's so exciting. We're going 2 for Sue this week, 2 weeks in a row, and 2 hours with Sue Young. Sue, We're so excited. We just can't tell you just how excited we are. Because, see, when you're not here, we just play sound bites as if you were here, but it's not the same.
It's basically we're beautiful and we wrestle over and over again.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
Over again.
We're beautiful and we wrestle.
Maybe her music.
And sometimes this.
There's a lot of things I like, and I like the Greg DeMarco show.
So, I mean, we have tons of things we can play, but it's not the same as the real you.
And I'm here.
Yeah, so what do? We play sound bites anyway. That's what we do.
Yeah, that's very true, very true. Hey, I got a question, Greg.
What's that?
Because you've been very proud of this hashtag. Like, you practiced that in front of a mirror or something, didn't you? Like, you were all like, the hashtag that you came up with,
hashtag two for Sue? I did practice that. I did. You're
right. I know you did. I could see it. You probably tried it out on your friends at work. Were like, what do you think of this? Probably wrote it down. Did you frame it? It's okay.
I actually had to send it away for framing, so it should be back in about a week.
Your wife is cross-stitching one of those weird little patterns that's hashtag two for Sue.
It's a funky little thing that we made in Photoshop, too. It's great.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, man.
I smell a new shirt.
There you go, Sue. You got a new shirt. Hashtag two for Sue. That's what I'm saying. I'm tweeting it right now, by the way, so just so that everyone knows.
I'm sure you are.
I'm tweeting hashtag 2 for Sue with a link to the show so people realize who it is that's going 2 for Sue here tonight. It's starting to catch on, at least with me.
Yeah, it hasn't made my list of trends yet.
No, it's not trending. You know, sometimes you have to change it. It's like right now I have worldwide trends. Then I can go U.S., then I can go local. And if I go to my house, it's like the bottom of the list trending in my house. So it's getting there.
There you go. I was going to say, the top three of my trends obviously are apparently WWE related. It's almost as if I follow that stuff.
I know.
It's weird. It's like they know me.
It's like they know me.
I have a song for that one too, Patrick.
No.
I do. I have a song for that, but it's like 5 minutes long, so I don't think I want to play it.
Well, hold on.
Just yet. Because then people would have to listen to another commercial break without us actually doing anything. It'd be like real radio.
Yeah, it would be real radio. In fact, what's the traffic out there? Let's get the traffic report in.
And weather. Weather and traffic together forever.
You think you know me?
I just wanted to play it because...
That's a taste. Give them a taste.
Isn't it completely badass how I go from the Edge thing to the Brood? Like, that's just
very
amazing.
Nice. It's very well done. And again, like, you practice this. I can tell.
I didn't practice hitting the play button. I just worked hard on
Sound bite. But I'm saying I know you worked really hard on the sound bite. I know that there had to be some tweaking. I could see you bent over the laptop, like, after the family's gone away, being like, no, it's not right. I must fix it.
It's a desktop. Actually.
That doesn't go there. Dude, you still own a desktop?
It's really
easy.
What
are you, like 50?
Well, no, I have one of the big...
Even I don't own a desktop.
It's a big touch... It's one of the big touchscreen ones. It's like a 22-inch monitor. It's great.
Oh, I got a desktop.
You think you know me.
That's high quality. Sue, you got to admit, that's pretty good.
That is damn good.
Excellent. You know what? Let's talk wrestling. Let's talk about some wrestling, shall we? Actually, before we do, I did, if you noticed on your rundown in the first segment, we're starting something brand new as well. We're doing a little Twitter poll here on the Greg DeMarco Show, where we're asking our listeners to tweet a little question for us, and I'll tweet it out. And the first one, it's usually going to be like a top five or maybe a question, and this one was given to me by somebody else. It's a top five wrestlers you would want to share a beer with. Is what I want people to tweet out to us, or a different beverage if you choose a different beverage, that's fine. But top five wrestlers that you would want to share a beer with. So tweet us if we get any during showtime, we'll read them. If not, we'll retweet them throughout, and I'd love to hear. And then I'll give you guys some time as well and during the show later, we can get your guys' answers as well. And Sue, you're allowed to say yourself. Like that's okay.
I don't know if I drink with myself. That seems a little desperate.
It's also a sign of a problem, usually. But
yeah.
You know, if we choose to overlook that, we can.
I go shot to shot with myself. Like it gets bad sometimes.
You know, I can't wait to hear what our good friend Jim Roberts, the Jimmy D on Twitter, who he's going to have in his top five.
Oh man,
that'll be fun. And then on the complete flip side,
I bet we could guess it. I bet.
We probably could. I already know some of your list, Patrick. Like Nick Bockwinkel, it's just a matter of what number Bockwinkel would be.
Dude, there's no question what number Nick Bockwinkel would be. Nick Winkle, how do you – number one. Like, it's not even close. Not even close. Like,
so I guess
two of my five are right there right away. Like,
It's actually, I mean, I would imagine that your favorite wrestler in the history of wrestling, the Fallen Angel Christopher Daniels, would appear on the list.
There you go.
Somewhere in the five. Would you go like an Arn and Tully? Because I actually think that would be kind of fun.
I do. Actually, they're not on my list, but Bobby Heenan is absolutely on my list.
The Brain.
Because I think that would be hysterical. Just watch his Hall of Fame speech if you want to hear a dude riff and be wonderful. And actually, those three are the three that were like, boom, without question. I was like, bam, bam, bam. The other ones, I'm working on.
You're working on? That's okay.
Yeah.
I dropped it on you like a snowstorm in New England. Like, it just came out of nowhere. So
we see those coming a lot of times.
We
just act surprised. Like, I think it's funny the way people are like, what do you mean it snows out here in January? In New England, what's happening?
That's like for when it rains in Florida for Sue. Like you should see that coming, shouldn't you?
Oh my gosh, horrible!
It rains every day, at least for 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it's like people waking up here in Phoenix and being like, "Geez, why is it so hot?" Well, it's because you live on the surface of the sun. That's why. So yeah, it's pretty much how we have to. By the way, a non-smooth transition. Coming up in June, the daughter of Tully Blanchard, Patrick O'Dowd, Tessa Blanchard, will be a guest on the Greg DeMarco Show.
Excellent.
So, yep, we've got – what's funny is the first time I told Patrick she was coming on – or no, it wasn't you. It was a good friend, Steve Cook. I get a text like, is she legitimately Tully's daughter or is this a gimmick? And I was like, no, it's real. It's really Tully's daughter.
Yeah, there's pictures.
Yeah, you can tell like, in the pictures. I mean, she looks like Tully in a good way. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
she's definitely a very, very beautiful woman. And but yeah, the daughter of Tully Blanchard will be on here, and that should be lots of fun. But what I want to talk about wrestling wise was kind of, you know, Triple H show introduced us to the reality era. And while I don't know if that's the best name for this era, I kind of feel like we are in a new era now in the WWE at least. And you know, unfortunately, because they have to follow suit for TNA as well, because, you know, they just got to copy everything WWE does. But I do feel like we're in a new era. I mean, the three main eventers right now, in the basically, who main events Raw every week? It's The Shield. The Shield is the top, you know, along with Evolution, but it's all about The Shield right now. They are the top story in the WWE. And in case you hadn't noticed, those guys debuted in the WWE less than 2 years ago. So, you know, you can't complain about them not pushing new stars. And they're using the established stars, like Evolution in this case, to get the Shield over and to get them to that point. And there's others as well. The Shield is just where we start. But do you feel that shift? Sue, we'll start with you. Do you feel like there's a shift right now in sort of an era for the WWE?
Absolutely. I mean, during the main event for Raw last night, we saw at least three dives. How many times can you say WWE even had that in one match? Like, that had more than 10 men. Like, that's the only time I've ever seen more than one dive, and it was a six-man tag, and they had three multiple dives on everybody, and it was crazy. And it was something that we need right now. It's I don't know if I want to say a reality era just because of the fact that it just makes it sound so I don't know. I want to say more of like a millennial, like a millennial era, because it's like all the kids from that area are kind of moving up and showing like, hey, this is going to be the future of wrestling, whether you like it or not. And everyone's really accepting it like in a positive way, which makes me really happy.
Patrick, what are you at? Do you feel like, and it's hard because usually we don't notice that an era has changed until years later. So it's hard to say an era has changed right now. But do you look at it and maybe compare it to 12 months ago?
Well, I mean, I think if you look 12 months ago, I think that there's definitely a filtered product and what we're seeing. You could say from, I would say, Survivor Series forward, like the sort of the build into WrestleMania, the Royal Rumble, and everything that was not just surrounding the Shield, but at the time, and leading into this transition where, and we even talked about it going into, Extreme Rules, when you looked at your three main events, quote unquote main events, and what you had going on there. It definitely has the feel of transition as you had, three sort of talents who weren't necessarily the top of the card who are now really being put in a spotlight. And I feel like running with the spotlight pretty well in a way that hopefully it would allow some confidence to continue so that we really do see, a new era, and that this isn't just a let's try this and then when it doesn't stick, go back to what we know. That's a personal concern, less of what I think would really happen, because they're doing a good job.
And that's the thing, and I agree with you, that they could always go back that route, but I don't think they'll need to.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at Raw last night, just as an example, how much did we see Triple H and Evolution on Raw last night?
Well, I mean, we saw him at the end of the show. We saw Triple H give his his little taunting speech after Ambrose was removed from the title we all forgot he had for a while. yeah, you're right. I mean, they weren't the focal point of the, like, Evolution was not the focal point of the show. I absolutely see what you're getting at there. Like, you're 100% right.
Driving home even more, how much did we see John Cena?
Even less.
We didn't. He wasn't even on the show.
Exactly.
Like, I know he appeared for the live crowd, but we didn't see him at all.
He was in a video package. Hey, now.
Yeah,
video package.
Which they do very well. And they might have peaked with the WrestleMania ones because those were amazing. But the Shield and Evolution, I mean, they're really – in my mind, they kind of seem to be doing it right in the sense that Evolution's been getting over sometimes on the show, but in the end, it has been the Shield picking up the victory. And I have no idea what they do at Payback to finish that thing off after what they did, because that match between those two and Extreme Rules as a whole, they, for this era, and the PG era that we may have been coming out of or whatever, for both you guys, Extreme Rules, they seem to push it a lot further than they have recently, at least with the physical brutality. I mean, Seth Rollins dove off a balcony.
Mm-hmm. Well, but that's not the first time Seth Rollins has done a crazy bump either. It's definitely much more than what we've seen typically out of this era. But I also, again, I'm going to go back to Survivor Series, where I do believe Seth Rollins took one. Was that the one he left on a really high ladder or something like that?
The TLC.
Yeah, was it TLC? Yeah. I could have sworn he did something insane somewhere else too, but
he probably did. He probably does it all the time.
I mean, he is. He's the insane bump guy out of that trio, which is he's also a big load bearer for that. He carries a lot of those matches.
He really does. And definitely. And for Sue, for you, I mean, this has got to be a double thrill because, and we've talked about this before, you were with some of these guys back in FCW.
My goodness, how amazing it is just to see people, like, they definitely deserve it. I mean, you could see, like, if you watched their independent stuff before they went to WWE, like, you could see the raw talent and the potential, and you saw, like, you could just tell, these guys are going to make it. But just to see them from that to developmental all the way up to on TV now, It's so crazy. It's awesome. I'm so happy for them. They deserve it. They truly do.
They do. It's been absolutely insane. And I want to move from the Shield and Evolution to Bray Wyatt and the Wyatt family, because I can't think of anyone who has seized an opportunity better than Bray Wyatt. So, I mean, how amazing, or maybe you disagree. You can disagree, obviously. But how has Bray Wyatt been for you, especially since, you know, just in 2014 alone?
Bray Wyatt for me?
Yeah.
Him as the character totally is amazing to me, because, I mean, who would have thought something like this would be happening on WWE, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have never thought in my wildest imagination that this character would be going on, especially seeing him from when he was in FCW, you know, as Husky Harris, you know, doing his thing with his brother when they were tag-teaming, into this amazing character that has his following. I mean, people are swaying with their cell phones as he comes out. It's so amazing and so revolutionary that I love it. It's going to be an iconic character that will be in history forever.
Yeah, they've let him go. I mean, you know, they let him go pretty far. I remember, Patrick, before WrestleMania, when he talked about John Cena's plastic girlfriend, which, you know, that one surprised me a little bit. But they let him call himself a god, and they don't let a lot of people do that on television.
Yeah, except for, you know, Vince. He mocks God.
Yeah, well, and CM Punk did it once. But, you know, they probably didn't let him do that. But Bray, I know he writes his own stuff, but supposedly it also has to get approved. But, I mean, do you look at Bray, you know, Patrick, is this guy, like, is this the guy we're going to be talking about years from now in the WWE?
I sure hope so. I think that there's a – right now, you're just feeling a lot of like letting his creativity go is allowing for a terrific story to be told. And I think that the other part of this that people really need to pay attention to is that John Cena has a good part to do with that as well, because you need a foil that works with the character he's put out there. And they've absolutely played this very, very well with using him, using Cena to be the one that makes this guy sort of, you know, not just shoot into like an upper echelon, but somebody who, again, he's always going to be looking to sort of expand his family and take charge of this. And so once he, you know, finishes with Cena, which honestly I don't think needs to end anytime soon, really what's safe in the WWE, and that makes him a presence for years to come.
Yeah, I kind of think when he's done with Cena, whenever that is, I kind of think his next step might be Daniel Bryan.
It might have to be.
They've
laid the foundation for it. I mean, they've already semi-feuded.
And Bray won in the end. Like, one of the few times ever be the heel won in the end.
Yep, in the most infamous pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah, well, yeah, the Royal Rumble. Good old Batista and good old fan reaction to the Royal Rumble. I know, poor Dave. But we brought up Daniel Bryan, and you know, he got the big win at WrestleMania, and, I mean, masterfully set up. And say what you want about that being the original plan, not being the original plan. We don't know the truth, so whatever that may be. If they lucked into it, whatever, it sure as hell worked out, because it was an amazing finish at WrestleMania. And I don't know how I feel about it since WrestleMania. Sue, I mean, how do you feel with Daniel Bryan and with feud with Kane? Like, where are you at with Daniel Bryan since WrestleMania? Because we know what happened up to WrestleMania was pretty damn amazing.
I kind of feel like this is I really have no idea, but I feel like it has kind of like the same feel when Kane was chasing after Matt Hardy and Lita when they were doing that whole angle where he was stalking Lita. But it's I don't know what to think about that, because it's very confusing, but at the same time I get what they're doing. It's just one of those things where it's like, All right. And then also, the yes chanting. Sometimes it feels like it's just like WWE is just kind of making the fans do it now. And it's like, what's going on? Like, why is this happening like this, you know? It's kind of confusing to me.
Well, yeah, they don't – I think it's just – it's become automatic, like the what chant was for years. Like, they just do it now. The fans do just kind of do it. And Patrick can talk about this later when we go to his internet reports. But, you know, there is some reports out there that you know, the WWE might think the chant's over and not Daniel Bryan. And we'll wait to comment on that because it is part of Patrick's segment. But I the thing you brought up was something that really struck me. Why is Daniel Bryan running away from Kane, Patrick O'Dowd? Like, that's just – I didn't get that part of Raw. Like, all of a sudden he's scared?
Yes and no. If you haven't read Jim Ross's blog about it, I would go back and read his little blog, because I think he got what – I don't think the WWE wanted it to look like Daniel Bryan was actually running from Kane so much as protecting his wife and trying to get her out of harm's way. And I think that the segments with the car sort of emphasized that a little bit more, too. I don't think it played well on television at all. Like, it's like you said, everybody and their brother, like on the initial review of the show, is like, why is Daniel Bryan running away from Kane? That doesn't make any sense, especially since he's beaten Kane before. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's kicked Kane's ass. So,
he did. On the road to WrestleMania, tore Kane apart.
Yeah, and not just – yeah, I was going to say, not just the week before leading into, you know, into Extreme Rules. So from that angle, you know, what is it really doing? It's not making Daniel Bryan look good. I don't have a problem with his opponent being Kane, but the way that they're starting to tell this story, it's starting for me to creep into Rey Mysterio World Heavyweight Champion booking, mm-hmm. where they don't make the champ look so good, and he's kind of winning by the skin of his teeth, and suddenly they then go with there's the argument of, well, you know, he's a crappy champ, and I'm hoping. Because I like to hope that they're gonna do better than that, because by booking him the way they are right now, it feels like they're ignoring the true momentum that existed going into it. Like they've misstepped here in just how they're booking it. I don't think the who is less exciting, but the how has really not done him any favors either.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I'm fine with Kane. I have been all along. Fine with the Kane feud. I think it makes sense based on their history. But the execution has been what's a little bit concerning for me. But, you know, he hasn't lost non-title matches clean yet like Rey Mysterio or CM Punk did in their first reigns. But if that happens, then all bets are off, because then I'm a little scared. Because he has been winning in the end. But, you know, they're in that phase right now where you get the same match for multiple pay-per-views. And so that's when we have to see if they're able to maintain that momentum. I'll kind of table the rest of the questions for after our interview, because it is break time now. So we're going to take another break, go get Leva Bates, and have some fun. Always a good time when Leva Bates is on. So, Patrick, I hope you're ready for Leva Bates, because this is, you know, there are a few guests, Patrick O'Dowd, where you get to really take things in a whole different direction, and this is one of them. Probably the ultimate guest for you in this take another direction.
It does work pretty well.
It does. It does. And of course, it's someone that, you know, Sue is friends with, but may have an opinion on your recent change of affiliation in China Wrestling, too, Sue. So we'll see.
Oh, of course.
See about that. So wonderful. So we kind of know the choices now. We've got the new choices and the old choices. Patrick O'Dowd, I'll give you the choice this time. What do you want to play for the mid-show?
I want you to play out Edge, because that was the one that I wanted anyway added. So
okay.
Edge.
All right, we'll play out Edge, and we'll be back with Leva Bates momentarily right here on The Greg DeMarco Show.
You think you know me. DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd.
Ripping these hoes!
Hey, this is Rain, and if I'm not kicking ass in the ring, I'm kicking ass in the gym. Or I'm listening to the Greg DeMarco Show. Boom.
We are back here live on the Greg DeMarco Show with Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd, and Sue Young. So, Patrick, I snuck Demolition in there. We used to use Demolition.
Dude, I'm marking out so hard right now. Oh, my God.
I didn't tell you about that one. I didn't,
that was a,
you know.
That's a beautiful prize.
That used to be it used to be what we did before we went into overtime.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. We used to use that one before we went into overtime, and then kind of went away, and so I thought we would bring it back. So. So, Sue, if you have any requests for bumper music, you just let me know, and in a few weeks I will have whatever music you're looking for.
Can we have Razor Ramon?
Of course.
Please?
Yeah, we can definitely. And obviously for the chat room, the Snake Pit, which is not overly active tonight, we can definitely get the Jake the Snake Roberts theme song as well. That's something we've been talking about for 3 years.
Yeah,
we've been trying to get
Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
You keep
and
not
it's
doing
not
that.
Like it's not like it's hard. It's just on YouTube. I just got to download it and convert
it.
But.
Oh,
can
now
we get
see
the
you
old
open the
Stephanie flick- McMahon one?
The old Stephanie McMahon one?
Yeah, the I'm All Grown Up one. That one's such a good song. I don't know why she went to this
sure
new one.
I'm sure we can do that.
It's funny to hear everybody's different tastes because I've come to the recognition I really loved the crappy wrestling theme song. No. I'm not even talking about that. I'm not talking about something. I'm talking in general. Like when I get nostalgic for like wrestling music, I'm like, you know what? Can we get the Too Cool soundtrack like theme song in here? Yes. I'm like, turn it up.
Goodness.
It's so bad.
I might need to do that now that you brought it up. So someone's going to need to send me a list. I won't remember all of these.
Like the clown. I mean, where's Doink?
I could just sing that one for you if you're really, I mean, how hard is it?
Creepy.
Yeah, we can do that. Anyway, we have a guest. That soundbite does mean we've achieved guests, and this isn't just any guest. This is somebody who's already been with us twice before. Super excited to bring her back for a third time. It's always a blast when we bring her on. If you are only a fan of wrestling and a fan of nothing else, I will apologize in advance, but you probably aren't listening to this program because we venture out of wrestling so much that you're already used to it by now. And, of course, that means we're bringing on one of our favorite people, Leva Bates. Leva, welcome back to the Greg DeMarco Show.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, God, any time. I feel bad that I wait so long. People are always like, oh, thanks for having me back. And I'm like, sorry it took so long. So I'm glad that we have you back. And on the I gave you a nickname on our rundown, Leva, and you're free to use it or never have it spoken of again. It's completely up to you. But it's pretty out there. It's pretty extreme in terms of it puts you on a whole other level. But if you would allow me to, I'd love to share with you what I call. I think I tweeted it once too, but I gave you a new nickname, which I'm known to do.
Okay, I'm waiting with anticipation.
I called you, and this is a title that other people do this, but no one does it quite as well as you, at least in the world of professional wrestling. We did call you wrestling's cosplay goddess, Leva Bates.
I like it. I do remember you tweeting that to me now.
See?
And I like it a lot.
You're welcome!
That's right.
Oh, jeez.
I haven't played a lot of stuff.
The whole goddess thing, but I'll take it.
See, you can't give it to yourself, but you can give it. And your direct competition's on with us in Sue Young. I mean, she can cosplay with the best of them. So.
not as well as Leva. Leva does it the best.
She can. She's like the MacGyver of cosplaying. I've never seen somebody maneuver like just. She'll take something, and then you look at it the next moment, and you're like, "How did you just do that? What did you just do?" And she's like, "I don't know. I just put this thing here," and I'm like, "What? How did you? I didn't think of that. That's how it always happens."
There was one time, not one time, but a lot of times, where, especially for SuperCon, where she was like, oh my god, the boot exploded, what are we going to do, the show's in 30 minutes, I'm like, hold on, or, this busted open, what are we going to do, hold on,
like
so this is several times, actually the several times in Shine as well, where I'm sitting there, right before a show opens with a needle and thread and I'm sewing something onto myself. Legit. I remember doing that with the Bane costume. Had to actually sew it on myself.
That is pretty cool. I can only imagine. You're quite the asset backstage, that's for sure, with the skills that you have. Now, we're nearly halfway through 2014, and, you know, everybody starts the year off. They got big goals and everything. So how do you feel about 2014, the year so far?
It's pretty cool. Actually, really cool for me. A lot of things have happened and are actually going to happen, so it's a pretty damn good year. I'm not gonna complain or like you always want to strive for more, because I mean you should never be complacent, but right now with everything going on, I'm peachy keen. I'm tag team champions, I'm about to go abroad for a random weekend. I got a lot of good cool stuff lined up. I'm really excited about all of it.
Awesome. And you brought up that you're about to go abroad for a really cool weekend. I mean, you know, tell everybody where you're headed this weekend.
I am actually going to Switzerland to wrestle for the weekend. Legit. I'm going Thursday and flying back home Monday. It's not about whirlwind weekend, but I'm pretty pumped about it. I'm wrestling for a show. I want to make sure I pronounce it right so I don't, like, look stupid. So I'm pulling it up on my iPad as I'm talking to you. I want to
it's
say
okay.
It's called Wrestling Casino. Let me make sure that's correct, because I don't want to, you know, call it the wrong thing.
Yeah, we wouldn't want to upset our Swiss listeners.
That's right, because we're huge in Switzerland.
I know on the poster it has like flags of a lot of different countries. I guess it's the guy who booked me, Luca. He was like, we knew this one big show. I mean, we did some shows all year, but this is the really big show we do once a year where people from all over kind of come in and do it. They have, like, it looks like on the poster, several different country flags. And as of now, it looks like I am the only American flag on this poster, so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm also really nervous because I'm going in only knowing one person, so I'm like, oh, Lord, I guess make a bunch of new friends.
She's the only American. That's okay.
That's right.
I'm the only real American.
That's right. You got to bust out a We the People.
I'm sorry. Do what?
Being the only American, what are you going to dress up as?
They actually asked me to bring in the Black Widow costume. That's always one of the more requested ones I get. So Black Widow it is.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't think anybody can argue against.
I'm going to be an international spy.
Yeah. No one can argue against the Black Widow. I can't even speak.
Black Widow? What that? Dude, yeah. Just stop. You're
the
dumb.
Black Widow. Costume. I don't know where I was getting. Even the one that I used for the show this time around. So I definitely know why people are doing it.
Yeah, if you get a picture, you'll be stumbling over your words too. Leva looks hot in it.
See, thank you.
I'm not arguing that the look doesn't work. at all. Like, I just like to make fun of Greg. Like, that's...
And it hurts. It doesn't hurt at all, actually.
I was like, what?
You're the co-host.
Go play a soundbite or something.
I'm looking for one right now.
You know your damn role, and shut your damn mouth!
Oh, snap.
See?
Yeah,
that's right.
I hear that all the time. It actually has lost some of its luster, Greg. You need a new soundbite.
I haven't played it in like a month. So, you know.
A whole month?
See?
We haven't been on the air in like a month.
No, this is three in a row, Patrick O'Dowd. This is three in a row.
And
peaking because we brought Leva Bates on, which is even better. So you're going to come back from Switzerland. What's next after you come back from Switzerland? Like, what does the rest of 2014 mean for you?
Well, first, while I'm in Switzerland, they're actually going to take me to the dam from Goldeneye. And I'm hoping, I don't know if they still do it or not, hopefully I'm going to bungee jump like he did off the dam. So I'm actually really excited about that. But once, you know, I do that and come back to Grand Ole America, I'm going to be doing, what do I have lined up? A lot of stuff. Shines, FIPs, Supercons, all sorts of cool stuff. I know within 2 weeks we have Shine. We're actually get to face our lovely co-host here in a 5-on-5 elimination tag match. Holy crap, that's a lot of people in one match.
Yeah. Elimination. It means everyone has to be pinned, submitted, or KO'd, or whatever is going to happen. But elimination...
Yeah, it's a little scary.
This is going to be chaotic.
The last time I checked the poster, that's what it said.
We're going to see what happens.
Yeah, I was worried about those elimination matches. What happens if you're the one? Like, what happens if it's the 5-on-1 scenario? No, well, that too. Is that a costume hit? Did we just catch, like, are you going as Neo? What's going on?
Crap, we've already filmed our promo for something else, but damn it. Why didn't we have this conversation several hours prior? I would have changed our whole direction we're going now. God dang it. Actually, I'm about to post up a Keanu Reeves-inspired picture. I did a photo shoot with Blizz Photography. Was it a month ago, 2 months ago, and we legit took an hour and did a whole set of Keanu meme, like, photo shoot. So I have sad Keanu, I have Keanu running, all sad me Keanu. In his outfit doing all of these poses.
Nice. And you're still doing, you're doing those for movies like he wasn't awful. Like, I don't know if you've seen 47 Ronin, but don't. That's a rough movie.
Actually, that's what started me up on my new Keanu kick.
It did not.
I decided to create the Church of Keanu, actually.
Ooh.
If you think about it, he hasn't aged. There's a lot of us, actually. And the Church of Keanu, Solo Darlin, Rhea Riley, Liz Photography, a couple friends from work, Kelly Z. I've actually completely... Oh, Cherry Bomb, I think I got her in the church. He has not aged at all. So I started doing research on this. There's a legit website called Keanu is Immortal, and the video is fantastic.
It's kind of, you know,
he
is like
he really
the big part of our
me.
Generation. Like, yeah, he is, look back, Bill and Ted to where he is now, other than he grew facial hair. Like, you know. And even that, it could just be a fake beard. We don't know.
It's true.
So, but yeah, and if you think about it, a lot of actors tend to always get a certain type of role. It's kind of like what they're known for. What, you know, it's just, it's actually a whole study of it. But his, look at it. He is always the one. Even
oh, yeah.
Bill and Ted. Him and Bill, you know, Bill and Ted were the one to save the world with their music.
He is Neo. He even in 47 Ronin, spoiler alert, he was the only one in the group that had magic powers. You know, like, he is the one in everything. Constantine, think about it. He's the one. Always the one.
I
There's
get
truth
it.
There's truth behind this.
That doesn't make him a good actor.
He doesn't have to be a good actor. He doesn't have to be a good actor. He's the one. Why does he have to act good? He is the one.
He knows kung fu. You're absolutely right. So to get back to what I think started this odd Keanu Reeves tangent, we were talking about looks, and I was like, you know, Keanu costume. What are you working on right now? Like, have you got anything in the works that we can maybe get a little sneak peek, spoiler alert, anything we can know about?
All right, so don't be disappointed.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be 100% honest with you. After this last wrestling season with the whole Shimmer Shine WrestleCon, I made about 7 to 8 outfits. I've lost count within a month. In one month, I made that many outfits, and most of them were from scratch. I'm taking a month off.
I can let a month off. I think you've earned it. I can't even. It takes me about a month to pick out a week's worth of wardrobe. Like that's impressive.
I'm very much burnt out because for almost every day I would come home from Universal, whatever I had to do, and then sit in front of a sewing machine almost every day. So I'm like, I'm taking some time off, just a little bit.
So
everything I've done, I've either pieced together. Like last week we did kind of a Day of the Dead thing, Sugar Skull look for FIP, and that I ended up kind of piecing something new together, but I didn't actually sew anything together. It was I actually took a trip to a couple different stores and like crafted things, like glued things together, but it wasn't sewing. And I didn't even plan on doing that. I was like, but then we actually had this really cool idea, you know, the Lucha family was all going to go get in and do it. So I was like, cool, I have to make a really cool outfit then. So I ended up doing that. And then for Shine, I'm actually reusing a costume I've used at a different promotion. I haven't used it at Shine yet, but Mia actually got a hold of me, and she was like, hey, can we do this out, you know, do this thing, because I want to be this character. And I'm like, you want to cosplay? Like, full-blown cosplay, as opposed to just me make gear that's inspired by pop culture? She's like, yeah, no, I really want to cosplay. I'm like, sweet. And the thing is, I already had the outfit. Only thing I'm doing is I'm making new shoes for it, because the last time I wore it, I didn't really like that I used on the boots that you had. So I'm like, I'm going to make new shoes. Making shoes a lot easier than making a full-blown costume. So what I'm going to, you know, bring out in 2 weeks, people have seen before, but actually probably not that many people have seen before. So I think the Shine audience, most of them, we haven't seen it yet, so it's okay. I'll be new to them.
So talking about you and Mia Yim, you guys recently gotten and actually are the first Shine Tag Team Champions as the Lucha Sisters. How exciting is that, and what do you think about being the first champions?
I am absolutely still almost in shock and humble, to be honest. When it's still shocking and amazing, and it's something like, you know, you can always say I was the first one, you know, just like Rain can always say she is the first women's champion, or the first, you know, what is our champion called? Heavyweight champion? Well, because we're not heavyweight. What are they called? Just champion?
Just champion.
Just Shine Champion, because I don't think...
Shine Champion, okay. I'm like, what is our title called?
Yeah, our title hasn't... Until it's been, like, overseas, it's not international or world yet, so we haven't taken it overseas yet. Or over
so,
the country. Yeah, so it's just Shine for now.
But, like, Rank always said she was the first one, and no one can ever take that away. So it's such an honor to actually be known as the first champion of anything. So I am super, super happy and pumped. And,
well, you know, like, you know, being claimed the first, you're always going to have a second. There's going to be a lot of girls after you guys. I mean, is there any team on the roster that concerns you? Or any team that you want to face? Like, Shine's always unpredictable. They always bring in random people.
Well, I do smell Maiden Sin in the future. I mean, I haven't been told one way or another, but with how everything's been going down, I can kind of see that as a possible future, Maiden Sin versus us. And it'd be actually pretty cool to actually have a program with them, you know, depending on, you know, I guess how this month goes. you know, I was actually talking with Joey Ryan the other day, and I told him I want to wrestle him and Candace, and I want them to wrestle me for the
that would be
the
awesome.
Time belt. And then,
yeah, that would be actually really awesome.
I've also been joking around with the Bravados because I stole their Dragon Gate tag belt in New Orleans, took pictures with it. So Harlem actually stole my Shine belt last week and took pictures with it. So now we're trying to get a feud going on, whether it's in FIP, Shine, or Dragon Gate, or hell, all three. I think there's something there. They even called us out at FIP last week. Where, well, it wasn't just us, but after Harlem's match, like, got on the mic, and he was like, "Bring on anyone. You can bring on the Dejos, choose your product. You can bring on, I don't know, the Savages, or hell, even bring on the Lucha Sisters." I'm like, "All right, it's on. I'm coming out. Boom, it's happening."
Nice.
So can we work that, Bravados versus Lucha Sisters, for the Shine Tag Champ?
That, title for title, that'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. Book this, book this.
Say, somewhere amongst the WWN Live family, there's got to be a way to make that match happen. There's enough promotions that someone can book that and it fit.
I know the Bravados are, you know, on board too, because they were actually the ones that brought it up to me after, you know, we were talking in New Orleans. He's like, "We want to wrestle you guys." I'm like, "Do it." And then I took their belt. So I was like, "I'm going to steal it." I gave it back because, you know, I'm a good guy. But
so with the last Shine,
you don't want to get in trouble.
With the last Shine, there's a lot of, like, mix-up and a lot of things going on that leads up to actually our match coming up. What do you think about Valkyrie's group now and their newest member?
I love the clever way how you brought this in. I am actually quite shocked by what's going on with Valkyrie. You know, Maiden Sin, I get it. April Hunter, I get it. Even, you know, Serena Deeb, I've come to understand, like, all right. But you, et tu, Sue, yeah, I said that.
She just Shakespeared your ass. Bam.
You know it's real when I throw some Shakespeare.
I mean, it's really funny because everyone is accusing me of a lot of things, and I really haven't done anything to anyone's knowledge, except for,
well, you know,
I mean,
attack.
Honestly,
turn on your partner.
Well, she slapped me first. She did.
You know what? That's hard logic to fight, right there.
Especially if anyone's listening to the show,
first.
They know you don't go anywhere near Su Young's face. Like, we've established that 2 years ago.
There's no hitting in the face. No.
No.
And Leva, know this. I know you got your kicks, and you're very kick-friendly, and you like those super kicks to the face. If that super kick comes near my face, it's not going to be good.
So, well,
If I were you, I would then hide.
I will not hide.
Or there's no shame in forfeiting.
Match,
you know.
We're going to battle this match. And I'm telling you, bring the guns because Valkyrie is not going to be going down.
Yeah, I just think Valkyrie, I mean, you can't deny the presence and the force behind Valkyrie. There's no way you can do that because Valkyrie, since, this time last year, even before, they're definitely a force to not be reckoned with. But I just think some of their methods are questionable. You know, I don't know. I would really love if this could be a actual fair competition with Valkyrie. I don't see that happening, and that's kind of disappointing.
Oh, okay, I think it's starting to get a little weird in here now with this situation. Like, I'm noticing some tension, ladies. I'm not about that. Greg, are you about that?
I mean, I like to keep the peace, but as you know, I believe someone famous once said, "Controversy creates cash."
Dude's a douchebag, and you know that.
I do. That's correct.
Sorry, I hate Eric Bischoff. Oops. Anyway, let's get away. I'm very non-confrontational. You know, two of our favorite ladies, you know, already talking about kicking each other in the face. Like, I don't know that we need that. So Leva, I'm gonna take this to what's the best way? Nerd territory. We'll see where if Greg can even participate. I'm sure Sue will be able to keep up. But what have you been following? What are you into these days? Outside of the wrestling ring. I mean, you're a cosplay queen. We know this.
Goddess. It's
so
goddess.
So what's got? I know goddess. I know, but she was a little uncomfortable with the goddess thing.
Shook him around.
I know.
You can't call yourself a goddess. Then you just make egotistical. But if you want to call me a goddess, I'll take it.
Fair enough. Okay. I got it. All right. She's a goddess. You're a goddess. You win. I tease. But no. What have you been following lately? Because I mean, there's always the laundry list of I think what everybody's watching. But what's really been speaking to you as of late?
I'll be honest. I am slacking big time, especially with last month's Christmas. But I'm keeping up with Arrow. I didn't see last week's yet, so I can't really go too much detail, but totally obsessed with Arrow. I love first season, but second season is just even better. So it's just boom. Everyone's like, oh, first season was okay, but second season is awesome. I really love first season, but second season, oh my God. Craziness. It is so good. I also, what did I watch? I finally caught up and finished all of Walking Dead. Hey, finally.
Oh, jeez, about time. Wow.
I know. That was about 2 weeks ago we finally caught up and saw the season finale, so I can actually talk about that. We're watching, let me see, The Following, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
Now you're talking my language.
Once Upon a Time. I actually really like that because someone suggested it to me at work. Of course, I'm not, you know, you work in a theme park and Disney is your next door neighbor. A lot of people are like, oh, this is the greatest show ever. And I'm like, I don't know. You're probably just biased because of all the Disney stuff in it. But then I started watching it. Oh, it's actually really good. It has so many, like, nuances of Lost in it. And Lost is one of my all-time favorite shows. So the way the flashback sort of, you know.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, flash forward. This time it's, you know, you go to their world, you know, and then back to our world, the real world, you know, like Enchanted Forest, and then you're back. So I really appreciate that because you get, especially season one, you get, like, backstories of everyone, like backstory of Grumpy was one of my favorites. I love that story.
Yeah,
and
so I'm a Rumpelstiltskin
really
fan.
Cool. There's a lot of, like,
oh my God moments, like, oh, I wasn't expecting that person to die, you know, so it's really cool. That was my sewing show, actually, so that's how I've kind of been blazing through that. I'm about halfway through season two now, so it's towards the end. But, like, some of my shows, I have sewing shows that I don't have to be glued to the screen to, so I can watch, but it's not like – like Arrow. I'm like legit pressed up to the TV when I'm watching Arrow.
that sounds like me in Game of Thrones these days. Like,
Game of Thrones, don't judge me. I love Game of Thrones. Like, when I turned on episode one of season one, I was like, dear God, they made this show just for me. Like, it's everything I love in TV.
So I got to ask a question then. Well, because I got to ask you, so are you up to date with the show?
Absolutely not, no. And you can blame Jonathan Cruz from the Los Mendejos for that, because he has a tendency to fall asleep watching it. So he's like, oh, I got to rewatch that episode. So I wait for him to rewatch an episode so we can watch the next one. And we've been waiting to get the Blu-ray of season three. And so I finally get season three. I'm like, oh, yeah. Season four hasn't started. I can almost potentially catch up and then watch it with everyone else. You know, wrestling season kicked in, and then Jonathan keeps passing out on me.
So are you
like,
telling me that you have
four of season three with I'm not gonna like spoil it, but with the thing with Jamie, I didn't know that was gonna happen. I was like, oh my god, that just did that to him.
So here's the thing.
So
I gotta ask this question: has anybody spoiled what happens at the end of season three? Like, have you been able to stay radio silent?
I've tried to avoid it. I've heard something called the Red Wedding. I don't know what that means because I don't read the book.
Okay, so here's what you need to do.
Anytime I hear the word red and wedding, I run. But someone, I know someone dies in season four, that's been spoiled for me.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil
anything. And I'm
kind of
pissed off about that.
Well, but I don't want to spoil anything, but I really, 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 really want to hear from you when you finish season three. Because I like, without going into it, like, I've read the books, so like I knew it was coming, like, and I've known a lot going on. So though season four, they've started to go away from the books, which is a
really
little, yeah, George R. R. Martin might die before he finishes writing them, so he sort of told HBO where he was going with the story so that they could, you know, if the worst were to happen, they could bypass the books, and actually the show would then turn into spoilers for the books, which scares me a little bit. But no, I really want to know, like, because the end of season three, and you already mentioned the name of the episode, like, everybody knows that event and what it is. That's the end of season three, like, it is. And it is, like, one of my favorite things to do on YouTube is to, every once in a while when I'm feeling sad, I watch people react to that show and that particular episode. It's hysterical.
God, okay.
You need to catch up. Yeah, I don't.
I've already threatened him.
Watch it on the plane.
Give the guy some no-dos or something and keep him awake. And get
he's not coming with me, though. I'm going to Switzerland by myself. And I told
then he
him,
don't
I'm
got
like,
to know about
it. Watching this with me. I'm watching it without you.
Know about
be like, oh, this fell into my bag. I don't know how it got here. I guess I got to watch it. Play. What? Oh, shoot. I can't unsee it.
Once you see it, you can't unsee it. Good or bad.
I have no idea. I am so tempted. I'm getting them the next week. I know a lot of our shows are about to end. So when they end, he has no excuses now. Absolutely no excuses.
You've got to watch it. You've got to catch up. It's unbelievable, like, how well done that particular season. And funny is, a lot of people worried that after this past season, after season three, that it might jump the shark a little bit. And I feel like HBO has done a pretty damn good job of keeping the show high quality from there, because it really is a game changer.
I know. I mean, even from episode one, I was like, I love the show. I knew it. I was like, this is exactly what I wanted in a TV show. It appeared into my soul, and it was like, this is what you like. And I'm like, it is what I like.
I don't know if you watched our last Shine, but our gear actually was Lannister-based inspired gear. Even I'm like, what is it, imp? Since I was the shortest person in the match.
That's funny. He's one of my favorite characters too, and both in the book and then in the way that Peter Dinklage plays him on the show. I can't.
Peter Dinklage, man, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's in the new X-Men movie. He's probably the only reason
I
was listening.
Oh god, I'm so excited about that. And it comes out on my not only my birthday, but it comes out my birthday week, which I'm celebrating all week. By the way, Sue, this is your early invitation. I'm celebrating all week. We're doing Dave and Buster's. We're doing laser tag. I'm doing a board game night. I think Athena's been in the night one night. So party at my place.
Nice.
So this is your early invitation. I've been meaning to do like the whole e-invites to everybody. I just, again, haven't had time. Maybe I'll do that after I get off the phone with you guys. If I don't get distracted. I have a memory
you should
of
watch Game of Thrones.
So I
That's
do apologize.
What
do what?
I said you should watch Game of Thrones. That's what you should do.
He's at home. He's at work.
See,
he don't got to know. He's not home. You just watch it. You don't have to say anything. No, not a word. I'm a bad influence.
You're promoting lying amongst people in a relationship. You're promoting
I lie to Mrs. O'Dowd frequently.
I don't know if you should say that out loud, you know,
she's not going to hear. Well, she doesn't listen to this show. She makes fun of me for being on the show. Like, and Greg knows that to be true.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
Yep, unfortunately. She does. Mine does, too. That's why I have to call her the lovely and talented Mrs. DeMarco, just to keep her happy with the show. You know, that's how we came up with those names, just to keep happy. So moral of the story is, Patrick O'Dowd, when once Leva finishes season 3, I have to book it and bring her back on. So
get
you can
her
have
back
the
on the show, because we're going to need
okay,
to talk.
Okay, I'll definitely have to let you guys know. It's going to happen soon, because I'm impatient.
So book it, Greg.
I have my own TV shows I love watch, so I'll try to watch those, which I do. I actually love it. Like, he refuses to watch Vampire Diaries and the originals, which I think they're both amazing, especially the originals, especially after being in New Orleans and actually walking down the streets. Now when I watch it, I'm like, oh, my God, I was there. No lie. So those are my, like, all right, he won't watch with me, but I've threatened him. I'm a legit threat, and I'm like, you don't watch this with me soon, I'm watching it without you.
It's cool that I'm not going to see it.
Oh, my.
Your fault. You guys are talking about bringing Leva on another show. And
of course.
No, Greg. This has been way overdue, and I'm impatient. We need to do this now, and Leva, I've got a challenge for you before you enter your next match and before you come on this next show. Are you ready to take on the responsibilities and the rights to be a DeMarquette?
Okay. What is this?
Do you want to be a DeMarquette? Because I think you should be a DeMarquette tonight.
So you're
okay.
So Sue once again is making the live challenge. I think you might need to tell Leva what it is to be a DeMarquette or what it means to be a DeMarquette.
What it means to be a DeMarquette is it's a secret sorority of girls that are basically dear and true to Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd's heart, because we represent the one of many special girls that bust their asses off, and not only bust their asses, but look good doing it, and represent strong women in the wrestling community. But not only that, but just in the world community, because we're great. We're the best.
Okay, I'm qualified.
Very superhero-like qualities you have to have. And who would have thought? No one better than Leva Bates.
I think I might be able to apply for this position. Do I send a resume headshot?
What do you think, Greg? Patrick?
I
can we
Patrick?
Keep her?
I'm in favor because I can sustain a lengthy conversation with Leva relatively easily and X you out of the equation, man. Like you don't
Which
even
you
have
to be. Yeah.
It's an easy interview for you, man. You could be
I
like,
know.
Okay, nerd stuff done, and you just walk mm-hmm. away.
She goes into that category. It's like
you ask
like
Leva. You ask Leva what her wrestling dates are. That's what you do. You'd be like, when are you working next? Okay, that's great. Our things with this shoot. All right, I'm out.
And then yeah, it's like Leva Bates and Nikki St. John, like it's all set, like you guys are good, I don't really need to do anything. So Sue when Sue first became a DeMarquette almost 2 years ago, she pretty much summed it up in one statement:
we're beautiful and we wrestle.
That's what Sue yeah. that's how Sue described it. And Leva, if you would be so willing as to accept our invitation to be a DeMarquette, of course we would love to have you.
I mean, yeah. What am I required to do?
Nothing, really. All we do is...
Am I adult now?
Fax her the contract with the paperwork.
Yes.
And we need two blood samples.
Mm-hmm.
Any
changes? If you change your look at all, it has to be cleared through us.
We have to talk about it later.
Oh, crap. Okay, well, I'm thinking about adding purple to my hair. Can I do that?
Approved.
Yeah, Greg,
approved.
We might have to look at this change your look clause because Leva kind of changes her look like every show.
I know. Okay, we'll give you a blanket. We'll give you blanket approval for that. No, there are no. All we do is we support you, and you come on the show. It's no different than what you've already been doing. It's just that I'm stupid and never asked you before. And so Sue, as she said, is impatient. She did it with Cherry Bomb, too, like 2 years ago, and she does it now. But it's hey, you know what? Far be it from me to disagree with Sue Young, especially when she's doing something I should have done myself. So it doesn't require you to do anything other than already be the beautiful, amazing person that you already are.
Sweet. I'm in. And you don't want to argue with Sue.
Excellent.
Sue said that it goes, so.
Pretty much.
That's rule number two. Rule number one is you don't punch Sue in the face. Rule number two is you do not argue with Sue Young. That's going to be that might have to be our next top five Twitter poll is the five rule Sue Young, and we'll see what people come up with.
Notice, Leva, though, he said you don't punch Sue Young in the face. He said nothing about kicking.
We might have to end that one. Technicalities
again during that pot.
I'm having so much fun right now. You can't don't take this away from me. This is great. you all have no idea how much I'm smiling right now.
I bet you are.
I'm an instigator.
You are. You stir the pot. That's what you do. That's what you do, Patrick O'Dowd. Awesome. Well, Leva, if anyone doesn't know, remind them where they can find you. You know how they can keep up with you, whether it be the trip to Switzerland or the stuff that you're doing when you come back. What's the best way for people to keep up with Leva Bates?
You can find me on Twitter, like everyone else in the world. It's Wrestling Leva, one word. I'm also on Instagram. I do that a lot because I am more of a visual person, so I like pictures a lot. So that's Wrestling Leva on Instagram. I'm also on Facebook. What is it called? Leva Bates, the official FB page. Add me on there. I pretty much share what I've just put on Twitter and Instagram. So for some reason, people are insistent that you have a Facebook. So I keep up with that. It's nice to share like the shine and the FIP and all those cool videos and posters. So it's a good way of sharing that. I have a website. Don't judge me. I haven't done it in a really long time. So I may want to give you the link. I actually took it off my Twitter the other day because I'm like, I don't even know if it still exists anymore. I just don't have time. I need someone to do that for me. So, all right, webheads out there. Get on
That's
it.
Right. Sue, talk to the people from Sue-Young.com. We need Leva-Bates.com pronto.
Yes, we do.
So they do a fabulous job.
I like this idea.
See?
You guys
look
are
at that.
You guys are people that make things happen. I'm loving this.
You've been a DeMarquette for 2.5 minutes, and we're already trying to get you a website. That's great.
There you go.
I love it.
See, it has it.
All right.
Get Jim on the phone.
I got one more request since you guys are, like, granting magical requests. All right. So I'm a huge Neil Patrick Harris fan. He is doing Hedwig and the Angry Inch on Broadway, which is an awesome, amazing show if you've never seen it. He's running through August 17th. I'm looking for a booking up north near New York City before August 17th so I can have an excuse to be in New York and watch this Broadway play. Magic.
Oh, there's
got to
be something.
Happen.
I mean, at least close by. Somewhere between Delaware,
I mean
Joe Zanoli.
They're like the Carolinas, Florida's, Georgia's. Hell, like, you know, probably the Texas, but up north, man. We need to make this happen. Magic Men, bring your magic.
We need to get your book out there. Is there not an Evolve weekend? Like, can we get her in an Evolve weekend, Sue? Or is there gonna be something up there?
I love how Magic Man turned into Sue. Fix this.
Dang it!
There's
so much I can do.
The premier athlete brand needs an assistant to the assistant brand manager or your position like that. We can. She's
like
little.
A mini assistant.
She can fit like in the suitcase. She's little. Remember, she just talked about that.
I know, right? I had imp on my butt for a reason.
Exactly. If Delaware is close enough, we need to get Joe Zanoli to bring her to ECWA, and then you can make the short, wonderful drive up the Jersey Turnpike from Delaware, because as Patrick can tell you,
exactly.
We have fun. We love the Jersey Turnpike, don't we, Patrick?
Oh, yeah. It's exactly. Oh, yeah. It's so scenic and beautiful, lovely Jersey.
It's like running on a treadmill. It really is. It's just nothing ever
changes. With a Popeyes about halfway through at a rest stop.
Yep.
That's what I remember.
Close, so it doesn't matter.
And being really pissed that we had to pay to cross the Delaware Bridge to get back into Jersey. I was so mad. I was like, what do you mean it's a Delaware Bridge? Like, who leaves Delaware?
It takes longer to pay the Delaware toll than it does to get through Delaware.
Right?
That's Delaware.
I don't think I've actually ever been to Delaware, now that you mentioned it.
You have not missed a whole heck of a lot.
No, it doesn't take long. We explain Delaware. That's about it. So, well, Leva, welcome to the family, number one. Number two, have an amazing weekend in Switzerland. We can't wait to hear all about it. And travel safely. Come back in one piece because they need you for the 10-woman elimination match over in Shine. And remember, stay away from the face of Sue Young.
I'll see what I can do.
Very good. So,
good luck,
wonderful.
Do what? I said good luck. Thank you. And I'll see you guys soonish. I'll definitely keep up. I'll be posting all sorts of crazy stuff. Hopefully if I have Wi-Fi. If not, you'll see a lot of, like, I'll explode all over, like, Twitter. That's not the right choice of words. I probably should have used.
It's okay. It's all right. So, excellent. Well, travel safely. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Anytime. There we go. Sue Young pushing the agenda once again. You're really good at that, Sue. You really are.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. You're just righting my wrong. That's all that you're doing right there. You are righting my wrong.
Somebody's always got to clean up your mess, man.
Basically, that's a good way to put it. It really is a good way to put it. So. Have we done your segment, Patrick O'Dowd, since we changed networks? I don't know if I have the song. For it, I don't know that I do have it. I've got all these other songs that I've added for you. Some of them I added on my own, but not that song. I don't know what we'll have to do something else.
Can you even do the segment now? Like,
Well, it's not about the song.
If I don't hear Kristen Bell yell bullshit over and over and over again, how can we actually do the bullshit internet wrestling news of the week? Like,
Sue, can you just yell bullshit a couple times? Like, can you do that for Patrick? He might need that.
Bullshit. You want me to get over and over? Bullshit,
maybe like
bullshit,
three times.
Bullshit.
See, look at
enjoy the
Greg DeMarco Show.
And remember, it's party time all the time.
There you go. I just threw something together for you, Patrick O'Dowd.
Well done. Well done. So welcome back, everyone, to the Bullshit Internet Report of the Week this week. And for those of you forgotten, I scour the interwebs for some awesome stories from our various friends that think they're in the know, and we sort of talk about whether or not we think we're bullshit or not, and after we go through those stories, we'll pick one that we will dub the biggest piece of bullshit. This one, I got four. And we're going to...
Yeah, you got four, and I know, and we want to keep everybody on time, so you got 6 minutes to go over four of them.
Yep. Four, but two of them sort of are connected to each other anyway,
they are.
So it'll kind of work. But we'll start with the Wrestling Observer. Since F4WOnline.com reports that the WWE is planning to sign Bill Goldberg to a deal well before WrestleMania 31. Their plan is to sign Goldberg to use him in the WWE 2K15 video game, which is due out in the fall. The plan is said to be similar to what the WWE did with The Ultimate Warrior last year. Per the report, the WWE wants to promote the signing at SummerSlam and continue to market and build the deal all the way to WrestleMania 31, which could use Goldberg for a match or a Hall of Fame induction. And so, Greg, over to you. What do you think of this report?
I mean, Goldberg always comes up. Like, and would it shock me if they brought Goldberg in? No. They've brought in so many people. They brought Bruno back. It's, you know, they can do anything they want to. They're the WWE. That doesn't mean they want to. And I'm not 100% sold they want to, because I've always heard that he's so expensive. He doesn't want to put anybody over. Like, you hear so many different things about Goldberg and coming in that, A, I don't know if it's true, and B, I don't know if it's even worth it. So
yeah.
I think it's bullshit, and I think that it's convenient because it just makes sense, and because Goldberg himself teased it a few years ago. So that's why it keeps coming up, in my opinion. I don't think the report is legit, although the 2K15, great angle to throw in there to make it sound legit,
sure.
But I don't know if it is.
Well, and I think there's a huge, I think it's funny, like Goldberg was huge for like a couple years. Like even when comparing him and the Warrior, like people sort of are trying to make that comparable. Even if you look at like the ups and downs of the Warrior's career, it was at least a much more significant spanning career. I mean, the guy did work for the WWE for quite some time, you know, and then made sporadic appearances here and there. They also what I really took away from this, Bill Goldberg's quickly becoming like Sting, like where we keep getting the reports that maybe he's been signed or he's going to be signed. Oh, he's totally signed. And then guess what? He's never signed.
I don't think
I think that, you know, Goldberg also has a little bit of Kevin Nash in him in terms of the self-promotion part of it, because Goldberg loves to talk and has given many an interview where it's not just about what other people are saying about his willingness to test me, but that that sometimes he'll be the one to say, yeah, I'm worth this. I'm Bill Goldberg. So.
Yep. Yeah. No, I agree with you there. I would say one thing. I think the Warrior comparison is inaccurate. He's more like, you know, the better comparison for Goldberg, and not recent years, but prior years, with the amount of time it took him to win the belt and how long he was even active. For me, it's more like Brock Lesnar and his first run than it is like Warrior.
Yeah, I think that's fair. So I think we're both in agreement there. It's bullshit. Sue, do you think it's bullshit too? Did Sue leave the show?
I don't know.
What's
she's I think she's gone. I think we did lose her.
She
dropped off.
All right. Well, then we're
she
move
probably.
On to the-
I'll be honest, because, and I don't have a message from her, which means her phone probably died.
Her
That's
phone
what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with phone died.
Got to get that girl on Skype. So we'll move over to our good friends at the PW Insider. We're going to talk a little Batista for the next two. So we're going to lump both together. One's from the Insider, the second one's from the Observer. But according to the Insider, the original plan, and this has been reported elsewhere very frequently now, so this started here. The original plan was for Batista to face Daniel Bryan at WWE Payback in June. Batista turned it down because he didn't think losing to someone as small as Bryan would help him be remembered when he comes back. He also didn't think it would be good to help promote his movie. Of course, Batista has already lost to Daniel Bryan as he took the S-Lock at WrestleMania 30. Since Batista turned the Payback plans down, there are no plans in place, and that's why he will leave earlier than planned. There's no word on how this will affect Evolution. Batista is set to return before SummerSlam. Now, this has altered a little bit because we're now seeing reports that he will be back for the June pay-per-view, which is it Payback?
That is Payback in Chicago.
Yeah, it's Payback. So there is that there. In addition to that report, and then I'll let you comment on both of them, there's another one from the Wrestling Observer where they claim Batista is frustrated financially. Things are panning out differently than what he was told when he agreed to return to the WWE. Word is that the money is, quote, not great right now, and when you have the kind of money Batista has, it makes it that much easier to walk away from the WWE. Others are said to be upset over money, I'm assuming, but do not have the option to walk away like Batista or CM Punk. Batista was scheduled to take time off later in June, but with the issues, he decided to take an earlier break from the company. Officials spent most of Sunday trying to convince Batista to work the Payback pay-per-view, but the latest is that it doesn't look good for him to stick around for that show. So again, ignoring the second half where it sounds like he's more likely to return for the Payback, what are your thoughts on these two reports?
I mean, I think the more I hear about it and the more you hear about Batista, I could see him doing this. I could see him saying he doesn't want to face Daniel Bryan because he looked visibly upset with some, like, with the reaction he got at the Royal Rumble and the reactions he was getting on Raw. Like, he did not look happy. He views himself like The Rock. You really think he puts himself on the same level as The Rock, and he's not The Rock.
No, not at all.
And that's, you know, unfortunately for him. In all honesty, I'm fine if he goes away because I think they then need another member of Evolution, and we probably get Sheamus in Evolution, which I actually think could be a fun role for Sheamus to play. So I'm okay if that happens. He does go away because I think of Batista being gone, and it's kind of like some other guys being gone. I'm like, would you miss him? I wouldn't miss him. I wouldn't miss him at all.
No, it's kind of like Rob Van Dam.
I would rather, if you said pick Rob Van Dam or Batista, I would take Van Dam because Van Dam at like 46 years old is better than half the roster. Patrick O'Dowd, I want to know if Sue Young thinks that there's reports about Batista and his attitude being negative and maybe even he's not happy with the finances, if she thinks it's bullshit or not. Sue, what do you think?
I mean, I don't know because normally whenever a superstar leaves WWE to go do other endeavors with, like, movie productions and stuff, they normally come back with expectations of being still treated like a movie star, you know? And it's like sometimes they forgot how it is to be treated as a wrestler. So those kind of demands and, you know, what he wants and what he needs aren't really outlandish sounding. I don't know what to say about it.
No.
That's the opinion coming from Superstar Sue right there. That's what that is.
Yeah, Superstar
that, that's
Sue.
Being like,
I'm not trying to say Superstar Sue,
might,
but I'm kind of like...
I might want a bowl
some
of all green
of...
That's, you know, and if Sue wants green Skittles, Sue gets green Skittles. I mean, let's come on now. I'm kidding.
Oh.
Right now, Patrick O'Dowd,
so
Sue now
weirdest wishes thing...
she didn't call back. That's what happened. Sue right now is like, man, I shouldn't have called.
No, no. So, yeah, that was an ultimate request. So I got to tell you a funny story. I don't know if this was probably just in my ears. So we apparently went into the overrun. Is that correct?
Yes, we are in the overrun now.
Yes, because a very loud advertisement for Myrtle Beach just blasted into my ear as Blog Talk Radio went away from the show. And
that
so
is awesome.
I did not. I did not hear the confusion. So when you were like, Soo Young wishes she didn't come back, I'm like, okay. That was the best I had.
So, oh, man.
Yeah, like, I just, it was crazy. Ears, like, are bleeding right now. It's really interesting. I was like you, I will fully disclose, I was ready to, when the first report came out, and the one about him refusing to face Daniel Bryan for size at Payback, or talking about, like, him losing to Daniel Bryan because he's too small, that to me, when I read that, I was like, oh, I believe this to be bullshit. Like, because I guess I want to believe that Dave Bautista is a little bit smarter than apparently he is. Because as more news reports keep coming out about Dave and being frustrated with the company and all these problems, it's starting to look more and more like he really may be backstage kind of bitchy when it comes to what's going on or how he's being treated. The money thing, he may have plenty squirreled away. The guy is getting movie deals. He is playing a significant role in Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm sure he's not today. What was this theory in regards to the first rumor? That there's some rumors that sort of float around, and Batista notwithstanding, I'm kind of moving away from that. I think I've leaned towards it being true. That when a small guy is on top, it seems like inevitably we get a rumor or a story about somebody not wanting to lose to the small guy that looks like he, you know, would be weak, or that he would look incapable, or that, you know, this person is too small. What person would rationally believe that this guy could beat me? I don't always buy that rumor is true, because it seems to me that at some point, you know, there's got that, like, for as much as we want to talk about, like, egos and people getting in the way, there has to be an understanding of a bigger picture and what's being told, and what's being told. And for, you know, for me, why is this always the rumor that seems to pop up when a smaller guy is a champ? Greg, I ask you.
It's because it's the easy thing to say. It's the easy internet claim to make that the smaller guy is a champ. And because history has shown us that with the smaller guy being the champ. I mean, we talked about Goldberg. And if you remember, there was all the talk, and Jericho's even confirmed it. Goldberg didn't want to work with Jericho because how small he was. And I think there's some truth to it, because wrestling is an ego-driven sort of society, so to speak. I mean, so we've all been backstage, all three of us, in one capacity or another, so we know what the egos are like, and some egos are bigger than others. So I do think it's that is out there, and that is real, and so it's easy to say that. You know, for me, it's more you know, the other Daniel Bryan stuff for me is more interesting than this exact part of it. Not just with the Batista, but more kind of the way that you know, creative may be viewing Daniel Bryan, so to speak. That interests me because I think it might be even a little more crazy.
And so I think that's a good segue, because the last report I have is a new PW Insider report that suggests there are higher-ups in WWE who are concerned that Daniel Bryan isn't actually over with crowds, and that instead the yes chant is what's getting over. They feel that Daniel Bryan plateaued when he won the title at WrestleMania 30. Bryan is said to have very little ego backstage, which is good, but could also work against him because he doesn't argue his position with creative or higher-ups and does what he is booked to do. Thoughts?
From who?
From either Greg. Go ahead. Sorry.
Again, easy claim to make. First of all, the Yes Chan has been over for more than 2 years. So if they thought that Bryan wasn't over with the crowds and said the Yes Chan was, then why'd you push him to the WrestleMania main event? Because this whole Yes thing started at WrestleMania 28 when he lost in 18 seconds to Sheamus, and that's the response that the crowd gave. So I disagree that the Yes chant is what's over, and I do believe that Daniel Bryan is over. My issue is more the way Daniel Bryan's been used. No more is he the fire-driven Daniel Bryan to sort of uproot against the authority. He's now like the running scared Daniel Bryan, or the quiet angry Daniel Bryan just doesn't excite me, and that's more of sort of what he's booked to do, in my opinion. And I think it's a case of where, you know, maybe going with the storyline involving something another as part of a storyline isn't the best thing to do with a guy in this sense, because that's never who Daniel Bryan's been. Daniel Bryan, his whole career has been built about what he does in the ring, and now we're suddenly not focusing on what he does in the ring, and he kind of looks like he's almost playing second fiddle to you know, his wife, so to speak. And we all saw how well that worked when Jericho was paired with Stephanie and feuding with Triple H. It didn't work at all. So if anything, I think they need to get done with this Kane thing as quickly as possible, so that we're not feeling this way. In terms of the reports, again, it's history tells us this could be possible. Remember the talk with Fandango was that he wasn't over. The song was over. That might have been true. But with Daniel Bryan, the past 2 years have shown us that he's the guy who's over.
Sue, what do you think?
Well, I mean, looking back on things, like, we can say a lot of things about people. Like, if it weren't for this specific thing, they wouldn't be who they were today, like how they are represented today. The fact that Daniel Bryan was the one who brought this in and the one who created it, like, it feels like it's being dismissed because everyone does it. You know what I mean? Like, anyone can put their fingers up, but Daniel Bryan's the one who did it. So give the man the credit, you know, give the man what he deserves. If that's his thing, let him do it. Let him go on with it. And, you know, maybe it's something that he wants to do different now, but anytime he just puts his fingers up in the air, it's never going to go away. That's just now and it kind of like an iconic thing that WWE now has forever.
My thing in reading this report and what I really struggle with is that anybody within the WWE would be so short-sighted as to think that everything went downhill after WrestleMania 30, and that would be somehow like Daniel Bryan's fault. It's really a lot like what you said, Greg. It's Facebook, and Sue, you said, and you mentioned it as well. It's you'd have to be completely oblivious to the 2 years that led up to what, you know, to his eventual title victory, to sit there and say, well, it's this chant that's got him over, because it's just not true. It was really, it's been very much about the little guy standing up to, you know, the authority, to overcoming odds. I mean, for God's sakes, the man won two matches at WrestleMania 30 to be put in that place. I mean, he booked him to be about as strong as you could, and still did it in a way that when he won that triple threat match, it could be argued that, you know, it's not like either of the other challengers didn't have something sort of, you know, going for them. And, you know, I know that there's sometimes a lack of logic. This just seems to take a leap of logic that for anybody in creative, you really have to be ignorant to the time before to sit there and be like, well, he's plateaued. It seems like the idea was, let's book him in a few that makes him act completely out of character and from what we've established.
And I don't even think that was the plan. When they initially set up the feud, I doubt they said. It's what happens when you've got it. You know, it's like when CM Punk was feuding with Jericho, and it was amazing, and the WrestleMania match was great. And then CM Punk was faking being drunk to get over on Jericho and did this crappy, stupid sobriety test on Raw. It's because we've got to continue to further an angle that probably should be done. And so then creative kind of runs out of ideas, and then we kind of get some of what we get. But that's, you know, that's not Daniel Bryan's fault. That has nothing to do with Daniel Bryan, the performer. He probably, what's the part of that that's probably true, he probably will do whatever is given to him, because he himself has said, in real media interviews, he himself has said, I've gone further than I expected to go. So the fact that he himself has said that tells me that he's a company guy, and he's going to do whatever they ask him to do, no matter how stupid it is.
So, looking at these reports, Greg, what's your nomination for Bullshit Internet Report of the Week?
My nomination, I'm willing to buy the two Batista reports. You know, sorry, Mr. Dave, I'm willing to buy that you're that big of a douchebag. So, I'm gonna take those off the table. Goldberg thing, it's just you know, we saw Sting showed up on the WWE Network, so we needed somebody new to talk about. So we brought up Goldberg. The Daniel Bryan thing, I have a hard time believing they've suddenly soured somebody that they basically mortgaged all of WrestleMania on. So I have a hard time buying that one. So it's between those two, and I'm going to go with the Daniel Bryan story being the bigger bullshit. So my number one choice is that they've soured on Daniel Bryan.
I am in full agreement with you on that one, actually. I am right there with you. I think that I think both of those, the first and last reports are both bullshit, but I absolutely think that, again, it takes a patent ignorance to look at the last 2 years and be like, yep, he's done. He's plateaued. We don't care anymore. So that is going to be my nomination. For the number one. Sue, I know you weren't with us, or it doesn't sound like you were with us for the first one. Do you have a feeling towards which one is the biggest bullshit?
Oh, absolutely the Daniel Bryan one. It makes no sense to say that. You know, it just sounds like saltiness and bitterness to me. Jealous people. That's all.
All right, kids. Well, then there you have it. By a 3-0 margin,
that's right.
This week's Internet Bullshit Report of the Week is the Daniel Bryan crap spoon-fed to us by PW Insider. Thanks for shoveling the shit, boys.
Well, you practiced that one. You rehearsed
no,
that
I
in front
really,
of the mirror.
I really did. And now it's gone.
That was good, though. That was probably the best Bullshit Internet Report of the Week segment we've ever done. I would venture, because it had the full ending. Like, we don't usually have the full ending and everything. Like we just, there's a lot of comparisons I could make right now that about the proper ending, and they're not anything that I want to be talking about. So it's
a
okay.
Happy ending.
But
what?
Oh. Yeah, that's one of them. So that's where we are. So good stuff. So that's going to do it for this portion of the program. We'll be going into our Wrestling with Twitter segment with SportsX Michelle here in a moment. But Patrick O'Dowd, you get the next 2 weeks off. We're off for the next 2 weeks thanks to my crazy family schedule. And so no, there has to be no mystery around the next 2 weeks. There literally won't be a show.
Dang it, I thought we were going to go for the 2 for 2.
I know, right? Hashtag 2 for 2. Yeah, it didn't catch on. It didn't trend outside of my house.
Yeah.
No, I blame Patrick O'Dowd.
No trending.
You didn't.
Sorry.
No trending. It's okay. There's still tomorrow.
I can only retweet and share a hashtag so many times before it gets a little old.
That's true. Just wait till the Sue Young fans get a hold of it. It will make it.
Absolutely.
I promise you it will. Sue, thank you so much for joining us 2 weeks in a row. Now you get the next 2 weeks
to
rest
up.
Kick some ass. And we'll be back again.
Yes.
May.
And I got Evolve coming up this weekend.
So. Yep, Evolve this weekend. You're going to be there, and we'll be. And then, of course, before the next time we're on the air on May 23rd, you've got Shine. I believe it's 19 now, or something like that.
Yeah,
crazy number coming up with the 10-woman tag match that Leva was talking about with Sue. And then we'll be back on the air. We'll celebrate 3 years on the air on May 27th with Jules Malone and Playboy supermodel Jesse Aaron. So it should be a lot of fun. Oh, there
Woo-hoo.
We go. Patrick, Sue, we will talk to you guys next time.
All right, good night.
Peace out.
There we go. So we're going to take a quick little break, come back on the air with some Wrestling with Twitter with, of course, our good friend SportsX Michelle. So hang on one moment, and we will be right back.
I'm gonna be myself, and I'll be everything that I want to be. I am confident in insecurity. I am a voice, get waiting. I'll shoot the shot, bang, that you hear around the world. And I'm a one-girl revolution.
Thank you, Greg. Oh, I want to say, Greg, I love you. I'm serious. I love you. Greg DeMarco, I love you. This is Dougie Nova, and I just want to let all you guys know that I love Greg DeMarco. True, oh, I can't help it.
Greg DeMarco Show.
We are back here live on the Greg DeMarco Show with just me for a brief moment, Greg DeMarco, as we do take this opportunity now to welcome in a new friend that we made last week here on the Greg DeMarco Show. You all obviously already know who she is. Her name is Michelle. We'll play her music and bring her on, and we're going to talk some Twitter this week.
Talk with Michelle at Sports Extra Show on Twitter.
Now, Michelle, I didn't have a chance to get the new song for you for this segment, but I couldn't let you go without any song. So that's why I gave you the old song.
Yeah, were you reading my mind?
Probably.
I'm sitting here thinking, at first I was waiting for the other song, and then I thought, oh, that's okay. This works. This is like my trademark song. And I was like, how cool is that? Here I am, just nobody. And I'm like listening to my Michelle. I'm like, hey. Anyway, hi.
Hello. Welcome back. No, you will get the Hot for Teacher song. I promise. It was just, we had some rebooking of the show going on last minute. So that cut into the last few things that I wanted to upload for the show this week. But it's not about the music. It's about the people. And that's why we have brought you back on. And this is something different. You know, we've about once a month or every 6 weeks or so, you'll be on with Patrick and myself at midnight as we tackle the tough topics during Tough Topics with Michelle. But now we started something a little bit different where we bring you on at the end part of the show. And you're going to teach us. We're going to learn. You're going to be our teacher, and we're going to learn all about the amazing world of social media and the stuff that we can do. And that's kind of, I think, the best way to kick this off is you know, kind of tell us how this came to be and really what maybe how this came to be and how you just know so freaking much more than we or I do about this powerful world of social media.
I'm not the type of person to, like, ever say, like, oh, you know, I know so much about something, but I know so much about something. And I really do. I fell into it. Basically was, you know, I was working on something for a charity, for not for this charity, but a former Oakland Raider player was diagnosed with ALS, and I was just involved with, you know, doing some fundraising. He had gone to Penn State, and so Stephen Smith is his name. Anyway, so I had asked someone I know to talk about it on the radio, and the radio show was sponsored. So the whole show was sponsored, so they couldn't really do it on air. And, you know, in Vegas, it was a gambling thing. They're like, you know, we can't really do it on the air, but if you want, you can just, you know, tweet about it. So I was like, all right, you know what? That's fine. I'll do that. So they said, you know, here's our show account, and just go ahead and tweet whatever you need to because we want to help out. So I noticed they didn't have, you know, they had maybe 400 and some odd followers, and they didn't really have anyone doing their social media. So I just asked them if they minded if I just kind of, you know, work it, and they're like, no, thanks so much, thanks so much. Next thing you know, that was it. I was listening to their show every night. It was a sports show, and I had my own following, and they had a show on SiriusXM Fantasy, and I got asked to promote Sirius, you know, fantasy sports, and so that's how it all started. And then I formed my own business, and now I do freelance for sports talk radio shows, and I have my own following, my own website, verysexysports.com, where I write. So that's how I fell into it, and I actually love it.
Nice, and you've obviously learned a lot over the course of time about how social media works and how to take full advantage of it. And just in a week, I've learned a lot. And you know, we even had our own little Twitter poll here tonight where we talked about, you know, the top five wrestlers that we'd like to share a beer with. And as the show gets listened to throughout the week, I can't wait to hear what people have to say about that one. Something new, a new wrinkle, literally completely inspired by you.
Ah, see, and I have to give credit to the guys over at the show that, you know, I've been invited to be on a show on. It's okay, like, if I say their show, right? Like,
of course,
I don't,
yeah.
Like, to, it was their idea. They do, I guess they're called Rob Gordons or something from some movie. And so they had asked me, you know, would I want to participate and give the top five people that I would want to be at a bar and have a drink with. And so when I heard you guys do it tonight, I was like, see, now, isn't that amazing? Because you did it with the wrestling, and it was just so cool. And, you know, I wanted to put Edge five times.
Can't do that.
I know. And I was like, wait, can I just, does that increase my chances of him show? I mean, I'm sure he's married and stuff, but I'm just saying, like, you know, in a fantasy world, he's like my favorite wrestler. So if, you know, does that increase my chance if I tweet Edge five times, will he show up at the bar?
Maybe.
I don't know.
You never know until you try.
Okay. Well, I thought it was great that you did that. And I don't, you know, just ask me questions. I mean, I would just say that in a world with radio, sometimes if I knew in advance, like, let's say, you know, I'm in sync with you and I'm talking with you or whatever, one of the things, if you're going to do something like that on your show, if you tweet something out like that, or, you know, you tweet it to, like, let's say you tweeted to me and said, hey, Michelle, we're doing this tonight, you know, we want to know this or that, my responding before the show, or my throwing that out there to, say, my followers, they would tweet you probably. And then sometimes, you know, during your show, you would say, hey, you know, we got some tweets in from so-and-so, and you name them. And that gives you, you know, more just positive reinforcement for your followers, but also more chance to have those followers listen. You know, they see that you're, you know, so that's just a tidbit, you know, a tip there, that if you're going to do a poll like that, always, you know, like, top five is a great hashtag, or, you know, a question like, hey, you know, who would you want to have a beer with, or who would you want to have a match with? You know, something like that. And you just throw it out there, and you throw it out and you hashtag Extreme Rules or whatever, you're going to probably get some response that way, and then possibly more listeners and more awareness to your website and your show.
Well, and that makes sense, too, in the sense that maybe we can even, because the one thing with podcasting is that it's not always a live media. I mean, we have some live listeners, and then we have, the bulk of our listeners listen, you know, throughout the week, and then we hear from people throughout the week. So it could even be something where we continue to do it through the whole week, and then the following week we even read some of them on the air as well and go that route, too, just knowing how our audience works and how the podcasting audience works in general. But still taking full advantage of it, because I think it's a great idea.
Well, that's actually, I mean, that's another thing that's great. And the show that I worked with to promote, they had archives, and, you know, a lot of it was, you know, a lot of the listeners, I had some people, in fact, they would have a Friday night show. I would do live tweeting to the podcast. Like, I would listen to the Friday night show, and I'd be on live. Mm-hmm. But then I would also be Saturday, I would be listening again to the show, and I would be throwing out, you know, a lot of it was odd. So, you know, before people bet or whatever, you know, I was throwing out, like, okay, well, this is what, you know, the guys had said. So I love, you know, the podcast and the ability to listen whenever you want. And I used to have people just, you know, they would say to me, they're like, hey, that's, you know, we know it's the Friday night show, but it's our Saturday morning show. And so that's what's so great. And your show, you know, I listened to the show that I was on last week the next day. In fact, I shared it with somebody, and it was just so great. I was like, wow, they didn't have to miss it. You know, I love that.
Right.
So that's great.
Yeah, when we first started, we started off as, you know, small, with, like, you know, a few hundred listeners, and then someone caught on, and our first real big exposure was actually, we would do the show on a Tuesday, and then it would play on a whole different network over the weekend. And so we literally were doing a show on Tuesday, knowing that 90-some percent of our listeners were taking place on Saturday and Sunday. And we did that for well over a year We could still call in live. People could still participate. But we acknowledge on the air. We didn't hide the fact that it was Tuesday because the way the wrestling works, you can't. It would have been obvious. So we didn't want to insult our listeners. But at the same time, for well over a year, we were the weekend show on VOCNation.com, but yet we recorded on Tuesdays. So that was, and then eventually we went live with them on a different day when their network changed. But for over a year, that's all we were, was a weekend show that happened to take place on a Tuesday.
Well, I did Google some things today. I hope you don't mind, but when I was looking, you know, and then I was just kind of putting some things up on Twitter. I mean, that's one thing, because I know you want to know about Twitter, like with the images. And I mean, you know, a picture says, what is it, 1,000 words? I think it says 1,000,000, you know, and so I saw some of your photos, and I said, oh, okay, Sunday. You know, I saw some of that, so that makes sense to me now. Like, you explaining that to me makes sense to me.
Right.
I saw the difference, you know. So I love your show, though. You have a great voice. I mean, I listen to radio all the time, so I can tell you have a great voice. There you go.
Well, I appreciate it. I've been told that, but I never really thought it myself. It's weird. And we do this show with no radio training, no radio anything, and we almost want to keep it that way because I think that's what makes us different. I remember when we first started having to play commercials, that was so weird, and I'd forget to play them, and I'd feel bad. Now we'd love to have to play commercials because that means we'd have more sponsors, so I'd be down with that. If anybody wants me to play a commercial instead of a song during a break, I'd be happy to. But it does make a difference because I hear some podcasts, and you can't understand the people or they sound annoying. We've had some callers call in that have other shows that I would never want to listen to for that reason. So that's part of it. It's just like how, you know, you have to look a certain way to be a movie star, just like you have to have a certain voice to have a radio show. It's a fact of life. Fair or not, doesn't really matter.
Well, I like I said, I listen to a lot, and then, you know, sometimes I'll listen. Some people have asked me, you know, hey, can you, and I'm like, oh, no, you know, like, and I don't mean it to be, you know, I mean, but I'm a very, I'm honest. So, you know, I'm honest, and if somebody says to me, okay, so what do you think about this? And a lot of times, yeah, people want to know, like you asked me social media, and I am very good at it, but I'm also, if I'm listening to a show and I hear you talking about something, and for the past 3 days I heard, you know, the same thing, or if I hear, I feel like I've developed, not that I'm not an expert in radio, and maybe that's what makes me, you know, I'm just listening. So I'm not listening with, you know, I'm listening, and now I've listened, I mean, I probably listened to the radio, you know, at least 4 hours at the least every day for the past 2 years, you know, sports talk radio. So I feel like, you know, I've heard some different people. And anyway, so that's just a compliment to you because you are easy to listen to. You're real, and I love the music. So, you know, if you ever have the sponsors, that I could see you getting sponsors. I don't see why you wouldn't. But the music choices you have are great, and I don't like when a show doesn't have any music. So I don't know. I like your show. I'm not just saying that. You're not going to nominate me for the bullshit article. I can't even say it. I just said that word. But, I mean, you know it. Like, I do. I really like your show. Okay. All right, I'll be quiet.
Hold on.
So.
No, okay. You're on here to not be quiet. Trust me, you're perfectly fine there. Yeah, we sort of, you know, break the mold. It's funny because we're listened to by people who listen to lots and lots of wrestling podcasts. And I don't. Some of it's because of time, because just like 99.9% of other people doing this, I have a job and I have, you know, kids and a family. And so it's hard to actually sit down and listen to. I know people that listen to tons of them throughout the week, and I'm impressed by it, and I don't have that. And I think that's why our show is so different, because I don't have that comparison to make to anybody else's show to be like, we should sound more like so-and-so, because I don't hear so-and-so. I hear more sports talk radio than I hear wrestling podcasts, because I listen to it in the car. So for me, that's we're more influenced by Dan Patrick and Jim Rome than we are by, you know, Busted Open, which is probably the biggest wrestling radio show out there. They're on Sirius XM Radio or any of the other ones, because I don't get a chance to listen to those.
I have a confession. I listened to Sirius when the show, the local show that I was promoting, all of a sudden ended up being on Sirius as well. So I was like, oh my God, I went out and I got the subscription, and I ran out in my truck, and then I ran in my house. You know, I was doing two shows at once, promoting both shows. And then when that show was no longer on Sirius, I listened to some. I mean, I was even like a, I was the sexy voice one time. I was like, hello, happy birthday. On one of the Sirius XM fantasy shows.
Right.
Just for, you know, a particular, but I don't have Sirius XM. So I don't really know when I go in the car. It's like, okay. So nothing against them. I mean, it's just,
right.
I don't have them. So I don't listen to any of the shows. So I wouldn't know when you just told me that show is on Sirius XM. I've never heard. In fact, you know, I've gotten away from wrestling for a little while, and I'm actually happy to listen to your show because I remember how much fun I had going to and being, like, I used to watch every week, so now I'm kind of like, oh, my God. So I don't know any other wrestling shows. You're the first one, and I actually think it's good when you're in the business not to listen to the same, but, you know, because, you know, some people just, like, why? You don't need to, probably. You probably know what you're doing.
Right.
You know, you're busy with your life, and you, like you said, you don't want it to be scripted or anything. So, I've listened to you a few times. It's just, I don't know, it's enjoyable. And I'm not even up to speed with what's going on in the wrestling world, and I enjoy it. So, imagine if
right. And we the biggest way we gained our popularity was through interviews. And so because when we do interviews and take up a certain amount of time, we get to spend less time talking about the wrestling product, and sometimes our most fun shows are when maybe an interview doesn't show up and then we spend more time talking about wrestling, and we might want to get back into that. But people love the interviews, and that some of our highest rated shows are because of the interviews. So it's kind of that balance there. Like, I would love sometimes to have less interviews and talk more wrestling, but that's not what the listeners have really told me, per se, based on
right.
their listening patterns.
Right.
Right,
I was going to say that's another segue too, is that, you know, when you're doing the social media aspect, if you're going to have a guest on, like, you know, there are some people that I met, you know, when I say met, you know, half the time it's met over Twitter. I mean, I may not have met them in person, but there's some, you know, some times where I'll be listening to a show, you know, I'm listening to a local Boston show, and then they have a guest on, and they announce the Twitter address, and I'm interested in what that guest is saying, and then I end up following that guest, and the next thing you know, I've developed a really good rapport with that particular person. You know, in fact, I mean, I met, you brought up Greg Doyle last week. You brought up Patrick, did I think? So, I mean, I met him, and he sent me a direct message. I guess, you know, CBS Sports is, you know, I guess they have certain leeway that would, you know, you
right.
don't have to, they don't have to follow you or whatever. So all of a sudden I get this direct message from Greg Doyle, and he just said to me, he said, who are you? Like, okay. I thought that was so cool, though, because I was like, wow, finally someone's asking. You know, here I am doing all this work, and I'm really getting noticed, and I'm very successful in what I'm doing. I mean, I'm talking, I have, you know, in my phone, you know, I feel like Kid Rock, but in my phone, you know, I have these hosts from national radio shows, and I have, you know, I have their, you know, on a first name basis, they're texting me or they're calling me for advice. So, you know, so anyway, so he, you know, he asked me, and I just think, you know, I had heard him, he was on a weekend show. So I just think that's where I just think social media is amazing, where, you know, I end up going and I actually met him in person Super Bowl week, and he's like, you should do radio. I was like, really? I never thought about doing radio. So now here I am, you know, talking with you. It's still promoting my business in a sense, but it's really just, you know, I'm happy to promote your show. You know, so I don't know. It's just amazing how things have changed.
Yeah, well, and you're right about that. And I do want, because, you know, your business being social media and the way it is, you know, I've almost held back some of my questions so I can learn some more on the air, because I want the listeners to get some of that as well. And the biggest way we started this is we got on the topic of hashtags, because I don't know that I fully understand what a hashtag is and how it works. And I've learned some from you over the past week, but I kind of want to, you know, start from square one so the listeners can as well. Why are they so – because even someone responded to a tweet saying they've more become a punchline, but they do seem to have some effectiveness. So kind of, you know, clue me in as to exactly how powerful and maybe why the hashtag is so powerful and useful.
Okay, well, first let me just say that – and I'm writing notes down, and so what I'll probably do is, you know, is kind of follow up this segment and put everything, you know, tips or whatever, and then share them with you so that, you know, you have them. And
that's
a hashtag,
fine.
Yes, I'm going to do it just because I think it's helpful, and it's kind of helpful for me too. But the one thing about hashtag, and let me just say, a lot of times, and I think I've said this before, a lot of times people will talk about number of followers, right? You know, oh, I have all these followers, or oh, I don't have that many followers. Well, I'm you know, a big proponent of quality, like, you know, as opposed to quantity. So hashtag is huge because it allows you to reach in one tweet, if you hashtag something. For example, tonight I was listening to your show and you were talking with Patrick about extreme rules. Okay, now I've seen you tweet before and you have hashtagged that. So you know what to do. You put the number sign in front. Don't leave any spaces. You put the number sign in front of a word. And that whatever you put it in front of, it's going to highlight it. And what that basically does is gives you a landing. I like to call it a perfect landing, and I actually like that hashtag. Whenever, you know, if you put the number sign in front of perfect landing, that's going to place your tweet, that one particular tweet, which is, as far as I'm concerned, it's a note. It's like a text. It's a note, whatever. You want to put down in your tweet something, and you want people to see it. Who do you want to see it? Okay, so if you want people that are wrestling, you know, or interested in wrestling, you're going to put something down, whether it's WWE, whether it's Extreme Rules. Now, when you follow the trends, which something's trending, you're going to see those things all hashtagged. So let's say Monday night. Is Monday night the big night for wrestling, like Raw or whatever it's on?
Oh, yeah. Still
Monday.
Is, yep.
Okay. Okay, so let's say Monday night Raw. In fact, I'm sure on Monday nights, that's probably – you probably have – specific wrestlers that are trending, right? So let's say you're talking about, you're talking about him. Whenever you're talking about him, you put the number sign in front and you put Batista in, it's Batista, right? So you put his name there, and then that tweet, it doesn't matter if you have zero followers, because that tweet is going to go where all the other tweets go that have included that same hashtag. So anyone that wants to see, like, for example, someone like me or someone like you when you have time, or if you had someone like me working with someone like you, whatever, you basically, what you would do is you would go to look at the hashtag, and what you may want to do is read those tweets, because those are potential listeners for your show. I don't know if you do that. I don't know if anyone does that. But basically, you know, a radio show host, they get done off the radio, they're done, it's like goodbye. The producer gets done, okay, it's goodbye. And, you know, a lot of times that ends it. And what I don't, I'm on 24/7, but I'm going over to like, oh, wait, that was just trending. It's not just that you want to hashtag and get where the trend is. Not only do you want to put an image up maybe, but you want to go see what everyone else is saying. And then when you see what everyone else is saying, you're going to favorite if you want to either remember that, or you're going to reply. And a lot of radio hosts I've heard, in fact, I think it was Dan Patrick, say, we don't reply. You know, we don't reply. I'm pretty sure, excuse me for imitating, I think he's very, like, you know, proper. And I mean, he's got this voice. So, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, we read the tweets, but we don't reply. See, now, he would not like ever having my advice, because I think that's terrible. But that's me. I mean, everyone has a different way of doing things. I understand why he might, or some people may say they don't, because litigious reasons, they don't want to say the wrong thing. They don't, you know, so a lot of people might just say, we'll just retweet. You know, retweets aren't endorsements. And so I want to stop, because I don't want to get off track, and I want to let you answer questions. But just when you hashtag something, it puts you to where all those other tweets are, and then that would take me into another step, that once you are at that place, there's so much you can do. Did I answer that in a way that
you did?
Helpful?
You did, in the sense that, because and I tried that, and at first, like, I was only finding people that, you know, I realized that I had to click the all button, and then I would see more that weren't me. But as I was tweeting stuff with hashtags more often, and being more mindful about the hashtags that are trending, I start getting retweeted or favorited by people that I have no connection to.
Like, they don't follow me. I don't follow them. So I'm like, first I'm like, how is this person even retweeting what I tweeted? They would never see it because they don't follow me. I don't follow them. And then I realized, oh, this is what she's talking about. This actually makes sense. And so then I would do it more. And next thing you know, people are retweeting me. And then eventually, you know, some of them would also be following me. And you just like you said, now they could potentially see a tweet about the show and become involved as a listener in the program. So it definitely works. Like, I've seen it work on a small scale, and now it's just taking it bigger.
I just, for example, Phil Jackson retweeted me. You know, so, and then left my tweet up for 7 days right before his book came out. And all I did was I suggested to him that he put, instead of just having, he tweeted when he first joined Twitter, he tweeted and put, you know, hey, I'm, you know, having this book, and it was, why is it 11 rings? And so I just suggested that he hashtag, and that was, you know, all of a sudden, because if you don't hashtag, the thing is, if you put, hey, I have a book coming out, and it's called 11 rings, and you don't put the hashtag in front of it, your tweet won't get there. So sure, people will see if they follow you. First of all, they may or may not see. I mean, just because you follow someone doesn't mean they'll see. You don't necessarily always pay attention. You can, you know, it depends on how many people you follow, blah, blah, blah. But just because you follow Phil Jackson, you may not see his tweet that day. You may not be on, whatever. But if you, you know, if you go over to the hashtag or something like that, if he hashtags it, like I said, it just gives you such a greater reach if you do include a hashtag. And you can hashtag, I think I hashtagged something tonight, and I was the first person to ever hashtag it. That's okay. Like, don't be afraid to come up with your own. You know, it doesn't have to be, like when you said, oh, I go over there and I see more if I click all, and yeah, that's true, you can just see the ones you follow. But sometimes it's okay to have your own hashtag, and, you know, you may start a trend.
Yeah, we did. We made up one jokingly tonight as we had, you know, our co-host Sue Young on for the first, you know, two episodes in a row and for the full 2 hours. And so we were hashtagging two for Sue just for the heck of it. And then, you know, Patrick, my co-host, is like, that's stupid. And then he's tweeting with it later. So it's you know,
well,
it's,
now,
it's funny.
I heard that, but now she wants to – how do you – now it's two for Sue. So is it T-W-O-F-O-R-S-U? Okay.
It was the number two. Within the word for, so number two, F-O-R-S-U is what we were using.
Okay.
Just sort of just for the heck of it.
No, well, I'm going to run with that then. Two for Sue, it's great. I love two for Sue.
When, and Sue is great too because of her personality on the show and everything, and she sort of just tweets whatever she wants. Her hashtags are more of the punchline kind of hashtag. Doesn't mean it doesn't catch on. It just is, that's how she does
no,
it.
No, that highlights what she's talking about. So I actually saw a tweet you had with her, I retweeted before when she had included the link in her tweet, which is great to do. That's another thing. In fact, I would recommend you do it more. I mean, I know you said it's a podcast, and so maybe it's, you know, for your website as opposed to being. But still, I think when you include a link of your show in your tweets, if that's what you want, that was the one thing I wrote down, you know, with today's lesson or whatever. It was like, what is the goal? That's the first thing, I think. Mm-hmm. What is the goal of your show, of your, you know, what is the goal? Do you want listeners? Do you want followers? Do you want people? Do you want traffic to your website? First, what is the goal that you would like to accomplish by being on Twitter?
Right. It is more listeners. It's also part of just the conversation. Like, originally when you're on Twitter, it's just to get your own opinions and thoughts out there. And then, because that's what I thought it was for. And so for me, it is just to grow the listener base of this show. It would be great to bring the show to a larger platform in the future, but we're in a medium now that's, you know, easily becoming saturated, and so it's harder and harder to do that. But it is a hobby in that sense. But growth is what we want to do. So, you know, I write for a different site than where the show is, per se, even though I also write for that one. So it's you know, there's some crossover there. But for me, it's just, you know, growth in general, I guess, is the overall goal. I've always kind of taken a see where it goes sort of a perspective, which maybe isn't the best perspective because then you don't have a vision for where we're headed. I mean, we started this show, we wrote down a few points, and then we started podcasting and never thought we would ever even have a format written, you know, typed up in Microsoft Word and sent to everybody like we do and we have for the past over two years now. So it's just kind of taken a life of its own, and now I guess I want to continue to see that life grow and sort of push that a little bit on my own versus letting it happen by itself.
I think you're doing just fine. I mean, I know people say that to me sometimes. They say, well, you know, what are you doing? And where's your plan? Like, you know, I have the Monday Night Fantasy, like, .com. And it was like, you know, it's just like, well, you know what? Like, I'm like you. Like, it's like, I have this vision in my mind of where I'll be, but it's not all, it's lucid. Like, it'll flow. You know, I mean,
right.
I never thought I'd be talking with you. And I enjoy promoting those I respect and shows I really enjoy listening to. And I think the show in Vegas had 400 followers when I first began with it. It now has over 2,000, and now it's on a national network. It's on Yahoo. So I no longer work with them because they have the, you know, Yahoo does their social media. And I think they miss out, to be honest with you. I think having a live person sometimes, if you're doing a live show, like let's say you're coming up with a special show where you have the Playboy Bunny on and you have, you know, your third year anniversary or something. So let's say it was a special show and you wanted to have, you know, listeners or people live tweet, or you wanted to do something special. Like, sometimes it's good. Like, I don't know, you know, kind of like a court stenographer. That's kind of how I picture myself. I happen to be you know, I'm not just anybody. I mean, I'm not just going to tweet ridiculous things because I know what you shouldn't say or should say. So, you know, but those kind of things, I think you can grow your show. I think social media is, you know, one of the guys that I talked to up in Boston, he's like, you're crazy, Michelle. You think social media is going to take over radio? It's like, I never said that. I don't think so at all. I think it will complement radio. And I think, you know, I think it's a great way to get people to participate in your show. And so I don't think it's going to take over radio, but I think that it's a good, you know, like, kind of like, you know, I didn't know if I annoyed you, like, while you were on the air and I'm tweeting to you. Is that annoying?
No, it's not annoying to me in the sense that, you know, if it were annoying, well, I guess I wouldn't say something. If it were annoying, I may miss things because I'm,
right.
You know, and what's really funny is that, too, there are the same people that will send me Facebook messages as soon as the show goes on the air. And I want to be like, do you not know that I have a radio show? Like, it's the,
right.
The show just started. And literally, like, during the opening of the show, I will start getting messages from people. I'm like, you had all week. And then you sent me messages. And when the show moved from Sunday to Tuesday, so too did those sending me messages. Like, it's, you know, within a week or two, all those people start sending me messages on Tuesday. Probably because they see the Facebook reminder pop up or I'm like, oh, I want to ask Greg about this. And so they send it, and you know, hopefully they don't think I'm ignoring them because I'm not. It's just that I have a show. But we do monitor,
right.
Twitter. We didn't at first, but we try to monitor Twitter as best we can. Retweet stuff. Even last week, you know, remember we shared the comment from the guy who was talking about how, you know, Donald Sterling, you know, was lifetime banned by Adam Silver. He was just doing his job. You know, I'm doing my job when I'm making pizza and nobody's praising me.
Oh, that's great.
He's got a podcast in a few weeks, and we've been DMing about it. Like, he ended up, you know, and he's listened to the show and enjoys it. You know, so we do try to read, you know, follow Twitter. And sometimes it's rare for news to break on a late on a Tuesday night in the world of wrestling, but sometimes it does. And so we'll be, you know, comment on that as well. And we'll try to find stuff on social media and talk about it. Patrick will as well during the show at different times. So it's a part of what we do.
I think it's fun. If I tweet someone and I'm not officially working their show, you know, but I'm just like, I was like, God, I hope I'm not annoying them. You know, I wonder if there's a way to just, you know, say, you know, it's almost like an airplane mode or something where it's like kind of
right.
Like, you know, hey, we're live right now. I mean, that's why I think sometimes, because I know some of the shows, like, there is a lot of people now that are tweeting, you know, so,
mm-hmm.
so yeah, you are on the air. So, you know, it's kind of like, I don't think people think you're ignoring them if you don't tweet them back. I don't think they're thinking though, you know, like, in other words, if you throw something out there and you're doing a show, I just think that in the world of Twitter, no one's necessarily expecting you to tweet back, and no one's expecting that it's bothering you, because I know
right.
that I know that I'm, you know, I'm probably the annoying person that'll be like, I mean, I'll get really passionate about certain things, and but I also know that, that, like I said, the host will say to me, Michelle, you're so good for the show, like, because I'll get there, you know, I know what I'm doing, and so I'll get what they're talking about out there, and I'll have it land where they won't necessarily do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I, like I said, I mean, I, you know, in fact, ironically, tonight one of the trends was pros and cons. So that's like right now we're talking, right? So if it's, let's just say you wanted to increase your, you know, you wanted to increase your audience or whatever, I would tweet to you and say, like, you know, hey, talking with Greg about the pros and cons, and then I would have, you know, I would land there. And if I put up a photo or something like that, it just gives such a broad reach, and someone sees, like, you have beautiful girls on your show all the time. So I, you know, and I see that you put their photos up, and I think that's
mm-hmm.
great. Not everyone does that, you know, that gives them exposure. And, you know, and I tried the other day to just, you know, like with Very Sexy Sports to retweet. So anytime there's ever anything going on, just the name of the person or what's going on, and you follow the trends and, you know, that kind of stuff, or there's a hot topic, like, I don't know. I think you're, like, Hot Topic. That's a great
mm-hmm.
hashtag. You know, I mean, just sometimes I feel like I'm just rambling, and, you know, I hope it's making sense to people what I'm saying. You know,
no,
it's like
it
comes natural for me. I think in hashtags,
no, it's definitely making
you know,
sense.
Like, it's like, but Hot Topic is a great one. You know, Hot Topic or
mm-hmm.
or Wrestling with Twitter. I mean, Wrestling with Twitter, that segment is a great hashtag. It just is. And I've been like all day the past couple of days, I'm like, oh, I'm going to be wrestling with Greg. I'm going to be wrestling with Twitter. I mean, you know, and I'm just joking. I mean, I know you're married with a family. It's just, you know, it's PR. It's kind of like, you know, hey, this is going out there. I mean, I'm not really, you know, going out there teaching like a sexy teacher. I'm just doing that, you know, it's like, you know what I mean? It's just fun. It's just fun.
Wait,
it's
you're
just,
not?
Just,
you mean, oh.
No, I gotta return the plane ticket. You know, it's just fun. I mean, it's just a way to make it, to liven it up, like to make Twitter
mm-hmm.
fun. Like to me, it's like I'm this actress on Twitter. It's like, okay, how can I make it fun? Pull my attic stairs down and go do the ladder match. And I just hashtag ladder match and made it fun.
Right.
So that's like, you know, you're like, oh, there's no script here. I have no script. I have no script. It's like, but
right.
I have a ladder, you know?
Right.
I think that's what you do. You just make it real. Like that's what you're doing. And doing a great job of it. The more, you know, the more real you are, whether it's saturated or not, if you're real, it's going to shine through.
And that makes perfect sense to me too. And yeah, it's funny because we have, like I said, we have a script, and our best shows are when we completely veer away from it. And every interview invariably does because of the style of interviews that we do. But yeah, I mean, we're definitely going to learn more about social media in the coming weeks. And you know, because we have the next 2 weeks off, because life does come in the way sometimes in very good ways, you know, that's what I'm going to be focusing on as I tweet over the next 2 weeks, is how to more effectively use those, both ones that are trending and ones that are just fun. And the best, you know, the best way to learn for me is to see what happens. It's trial and error. And it's what I've been doing for the past week and what I'll continue to do over the next couple.
Think about when you're out over the next couple of weeks, think about, like, for example, if you take a picture and you write something, like I have a pen that has my Twitter address
uh-huh.
on it. It's just a pen, but I put that pen in every photo.
Right.
So, you know, every time, over the next couple of weeks when you're out and about, think about when you just take a photo, you know, take a picture, and just if you throw it up there and hashtag, that's all I would suggest over the next couple of weeks while you're just
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know, not doing the show or whatever. Think about, like, when you look around, you know, you see a book or you see, because I'm telling you, a picture's worth 1,000 words, and people pay attention to photos. You know, like Sue, I think, or no, it was the other woman that was on earlier. She said she's a visual person or
yep.
something. So,
Leva.
You know, visual, auditory, and then I think it's kinesthetic, if I say that right, or kinesthetic, I think. But just,
mm-hmm.
you know, the overall feeling. So in Twitter, that's what you want to do. You want to have the words, You want to have the podcast go out, like tweet them out. You know, don't expect everyone to go to your website. Share it in a tweet, because then someone will retweet that. You know, you have me talking right now. You cut a clip of that, or you have Sue talking about that hashtag. You cut it, you tweet it out there. Instead of expecting traffic to come to you, you go and give it to them. And that's what you do.
Yeah, and I think you're right about the visual aspect of it, because if you look at, you know, the new Twitter that I've been converted to, and I know some people have and some people haven't, but we all will be by the end of May, whether we want to or not, it's definitely more geared towards that. Like, they know it too, because the new version of it is more visual and does put more of a focus on the photos and things like that. So it's, you know, it's hard to argue against what you're saying when Twitter's doing it themselves. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, I actually, you know, I would love to go try to sell their stock, because I think everyone would buy. I mean, I would, I have such, I think Twitter is amazing. It's amazing. And people don't even know. They don't even know, because they think it's just used for, you know, a personal thing or whatever. And businesses are, like the other day, LeBron James, you know, it's the promoted tweet. So it was just LeBron James was trending. And I clicked on the trend thinking, like, oh, what's going on with him?